I'm good. Get him to build a need coffee thing in Minecraft.
What?
I'm talking to John.
Yeah, you okay, stay out of this, Widge.
You're talking to him and wanting him to get me to do something.
No. What? His child is doing stuff in Minecraft, so I said get the child to make something neat coffee in Minecraft.
Ah, I see.
Yes, and Widge already knows what happened in The Sims, so do we really want to do that again?
Is Minecraft just The Sims all
it's
over?
Content. It's content.
So Minecraft is what? The Sims but underground?
I think it's The Sims without independent action.
Okay, so it's like The Sims then?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, considering what happened to all of us in The Sims house. Wait a minute. I don't think I was actually in that report. Was I even in that house?
I'm not sure where you were.
Actually, that's very like me, so...
I've seen a couple of things, and here's the weird thing. I've seen a couple of things that she's been playing Sims again.
Please tell me the weird thing. I can't wait to hear the weird thing.
So her Sims creations are intermingling.
Right.
So there are sometimes where she'll go and they'll have some characters, like in a common gathering place, she'll run into like people from the Neat Coffee House.
Okay. How the fuck does that work?
Science, Widge, science.
Science, yes. She'll explain it when she gets here, if you invited her.
Oblique Red, right?
Yeah.
Yep, she's invited.
Okay. She's supposed to be coming. I have it on good authority she may be here.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
did a new game come out? Is she out at the family cabin playing it? Is that why you...
No, she's between games.
Oh,
yeah, that's why I'm here. I'm between Mickey Faust shows.
You're between games as well.
That's one way to put it, yeah.
Well, yeah. Toughly, I would definitely say that in Scott's case, there are games without frontiers.
Well, you know.
Is that a Peter Gabriel song?
Hey, it's her.
You know, we actually did a skit involving that song. It was a very strange skit.
Was it about a TSR game that was simply called Star?
No, it was weird thing of us in a subway car and we killed somebody. It didn't make a lot of sense, but you know, I was new, so I didn't argue.
Yeah, I can vouch for it not making much sense.
Why? Hey, you weren't there.
It involved death in a Peter Gabriel song?
Yeah.
Okay, on that note, or something completely different, does anyone know when Rox is getting to the West Coast?
Isn't she already there?
Not at my house.
Well, last time I checked, sir, your house, there was more to the West Coast than your house.
Right.
I mean, I know your house is probably pretty awesome, but...
I think I'm her fallback position in Oregon. I think JJ's her primary, but I'm her fallback, and I kind of need to know when I might expect her.
JJ said he might be joining us, so you can probably quiz him about it.
Okay.
So is everyone drinking? Is anyone drinking?
Yes, I'm drinking.
What do you got, sir?
I have a growler. Ooh. Of Rogue American Amber Ale.
Oh, how is that?
It's very nice. Moderately hoppy, but full-bodied, balanced. Very nice.
Cool. I have one of the many beers that our friend Scott, who had meant to say, not Scott C., but he is a Chive on MN, I believe, on Twitter.
I mean Scott White.
Yeah, Scott White. Well, I think we know like five Scott Whites, you know, or something like that. So
we do.
I think, well, they're not all clones. It's a American blonde ale called Lonely Blonde. So it's just a very nice ale, you know. It's just ale.
And nothing wrong with ale.
Sometimes you just want some ale.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So
about you, Boutel?
I'm not right at the moment. I am on meds though.
What is that? Tetracycline? What?
Gabapentin.
What, the penicillin was working?
That was the reacting with the electroconvulsive shock therapy. Was that a ba-dump dump, or was that somebody just hitting the desk? Oh, good God. All right. So,
the drugs.
All right. So I'll throw this out. Who's seen the Flash pilot?
Oh, I didn't see the Flash pilot. It was leaked, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Eh.
No, nobody, huh?
Does anybody care?
No, well, see, I was intrigued because considering I was at least happy that they got and I'm blanking on his name, the guy who was the Flash in the first series to play his dad, which I thought was nice.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and that was a nice nod.
And the effects are good. I mean, the running is good, and the whole figuring out the powers bit is nice. And by the way, I of course legally acquired this, in case anyone's wondering.
It's the only way to do it.
You got it. But I think and maybe because I don't watch Arrow because it's on CW and I generally am allergic to CW, but
it's not a bad show once you get past the first like 10 episodes of the first season.
But so, well, here's my question.
See, that's the problem. I got through the entire first season, and I was kind of like, I don't think I can do a second season.
The second season is so much better.
Well, I can watch it on Netflix and binge watch it.
Here's my question, because my problem was that the dialogue was just heinous. I mean, like really terrible. Lots of heartfelt sort of very meaningful dialogue, you know what I mean? Capital M, capital D. Sort of like, okay, imagine that line from How to Train Your Dragon 2 about what you're searching for isn't out there, it's in here. Imagine that like the whole fucking show.
Ooh.
That's the Flash. Which is a shame because they set up a lot of pretty cool stuff. I mean, Jesus Christ, everybody that's in the lab is pretty much the civilian identity of another character. I mean, the people in the people that are working in the lab are Killer Frost, Vibe, and I forget who the third person was. And there's some crazy doctor person.
Please tell me Vibe does some sick what is it called?
Vibing?
No. Breakdancing. Breakdancing.
No, probably not. Well, they didn't bring him in a time machine.
Well, yeah, but that was the original character, right?
Well, that's from Justice League, the Detroit years.
So that's what happened to Detroit. That explains a lot.
That's pretty good, actually. Hey, and what's the magazine that did the best report on Detroit? Vibe. There you go. It's all connected. So that's my question. Is the dialogue in Arrow bad? Because when Arrow showed up, he shows up in the pilot. His dialogue was pretty bad. So I was like, well, maybe that's just CWDC.
It's not horrible. It's gotten better. The reason why I say you pass the first 10 or so episodes of the first season, because they spend a lot of time on the love stories. And second season, they just realized, you know what? No one's tuning into this to watch him fawn over or his little angst over his ex-girlfriend or whatever. And they just kind of got down to the business of
shooting arrows
and killing and not killing people anymore, actually. So
a boo.
Well, he did the first season, which was actually kind of shocking from the standpoint of a comics then he became the true Green Arrow, I suppose, in the second season.
Now, by true Green Aaron's Arrow, here. Is he using boxing glove arrows and handcuff arrows and stuff?
Oh, no, not, although he has used some ones that, you know, just inexplicably have a lot of explosive power on a little tiny tip of an arrow. So,
I will say one of my favorite Green Arrow moments was during
just the tip. Yes. Oh, wait.
Oh. Ow.
Bread and butter.
ribbed with explosives for your pleasure. So, no, one of my favorite Green Arrow moments in the comics was actually when it was when he was quote unquote dead, and his son was basically, this was when Grant Morrison was doing the Justice League, and his son, who uses regular arrows, was having to, had no arrows and was having to pull trick arrows out of like the museum area. And he was just bitching. He was like, Dad, Jesus Christ, just one real arrow, Dad, please.
Yeah.
Which I thought was hilarious. Because, oh, a flare arrow, a handcuff arrow, a boomerang arrow. It's like, what the fuck is all this?
See, there was an issue of Hawkeye in which the boomerang arrow actually saved the day, and it was awesome. Because Kate had been giving him shit about the boomerang arrow early on.
It's Kim!
Hi!
What?
I'm here!
Is Aaron on here too?
Nope.
Oh, good. It's just Robo Aaron. That's all right then. I feel better already.
As well,
you ain't
should.
Responsible for yes. nothing.
Although I must say, like your eyes with like the little radiating circle coming out of them every time you talk is kind of freaking me out.
And that's Kim saying that.
No, it's just because it's like you're staring into my soul.
Well, Aaron does that.
I mean, he's talking about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about you, bitch.
Who, me?
Yeah,
you.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I thought you were talking about Aaron. I am staring into your soul. That is my, what I need to do is I need to put two fingers up to the temple of my,
whoa, okay.
of my head, and whoa. then I'll be doing my Charles Xavier bit.
Is that what the coffee does?
That
okay,
is what
you
the,
said two fingers to the temple, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what you said, Scott.
Just making sure.
Yes.
There are children around. We don't want to, you know.
Yes. And for that, for interrupting that X-Men first class joke with Scott C. No class.
Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you.
Hey.
First half, more like.
So Banshee then.
Although, what was it? I found. Aaron, I meant to send this to you if Cosette didn't already, was someone took a picture of Fassbender from X-Men First Class doing the whole palm up affecting things and magnetized it so you can put keys on it or whatever you want to keep on it, like stuck it on a fridge. So
that's
I thought
fantastic.
Of you.
Fantastic.
Nice. Well, I've been told he is magnetic in a lot of ways. So
oh.
That's what Tumblr thinks.
Yeah.
Now
oh, Tumblr.
Now, have you guys seen the trailer for Frank?
I have seen the movie Frank.
Oh, you've seen it already?
Yeah, it came out here a couple of months ago.
Oh, how is it?
It's interesting because I grew up with Frank Sidebottom. Not, you know, like he was my dad or anything, but he was on TV as a child.
Okay.
Hey, Aaron, can you get closer to your mic, please?
Sorry, am I doing that really loud thing? Or,
No, you're not loud enough.
For you, you're quiet.
you're kind of muffled. We're wondering if you've been kidnapped and you've just managed to get the gag out.
I'm on a really shitty USB mic, so how's this now?
It's a little
bit doable.
I feel like I'm getting sexy with the microphone. Huh? How about now?
Someone take a screen cap.
Really? No
Oh, God. So anyway, Aaron, you were saying Frank.
Yeah, so basically he was always a weird character, but I was very familiar with him, and they've made a lot of changes to him for the film. I mean, they have the essence of that is shit songs and that head, but you know, they've changed a lot otherwise. So it was weird adjusting to this new Frank Sidebottom at first. But it's a very sweet film. It's a very simple film. But yeah, it's very watchable. I think you'll like it a lot.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Frank is basically Frank is basically about a and I don't know about the real Frank, but in the movie it's an experimental musician who wears a giant fake head over his real head and never takes it off ever. Not asleep, not in the shower. No, thank you. And so
most men wear a fake head over their real head. Hi, it's Lee.
Or as opposed to putting a prosthetic forehead over, on the real head.
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
They might be dying.
Totally.
God. Anyway, but yeah, and it's Fassbender playing Frank, and you never see his face.
Yeah.
No, so is he like the unknown comic?
No. I don't even know who that is. But I'm gonna shut up.
We were just talking about how they made a whole movie about him. He's obviously not unknown.
Well, and if you go to Wikipedia, which is always right, you can find out who the unknown comic is.
But hey, Lee's here, so I get to say Happy Agent Coulson Day, everybody!
Happy Agent Coulson Day! Yay!
Whoa, hang on. Why is it Agent Coulson Day?
Today is Agent Coulson's
birthday. It's his birthday!
Oh, I see.
We love Agent Coulson. Yay!
I came back to for this.
Yep.
Fuck.
And we want and Kimmy, I want my present, but I haven't gotten it yet.
And unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
Yeah, that's a total euphemism.
It is totally a sexual reference, and he's not coming to Dragon Con, so ha!
So Lee, is that special Cards Against Humanity card I made for you?
Probably.
Yes, I will put it on my head. Yes.
Whoa, wow. Lee is drunk.
Wow.
You are so wasted right now, aren't you?
I'm tired. It's been a really long day.
Yeah, tired and emotional.
He's drunk.
John made me do things at like 7 a.m.
Whoa.
It's all John's fault.
I really do need 27
brown chicken, brown chicken, brown. Yes.
John, please tell me that you were not on your speakers and that your kid can't hear any of this.
That is correct.
No, we both have our headphones on.
Safe podcasting.
Safety first.
We always do because we have our headphones on and our microphones. That would be safe podcasting, right?
Yes.
Don't forget the high-vis jacket.
That's important, too.
I don't have a high... Wait, is that my boobs? What? Huh?
What?
Nothing.
Okay, mark the time. Mark the time.
Do not! Shush.
John, no. Mark the time.
Shush. Well, we don't plan to.
I need a nap.
Shushing would make for bad Shushing would make for bad podcasting.
Oh, Lee, I've missed you.
And John needed ice after we talked, by the way. Ask John. He had to ice it down. Ask John.
Wow. Yes.
He did.
It's
not my fault. To
you. Now, John, by ice it down, is she talking about do you put it back in suspension like it was the Winter Soldier?
Correct.
Nope.
It's not to be found for 50 years.
So it's like cybernetic?
Ooh. What we learned on the last podcast I just did with Lee is that she's on a 3-second delay, so we have to count to three before when asking her a question.
Oh, does that mean something is starting back up?
Yeah.
Also, I think it might be a second delay right now because we have the three caused by Skype and the other three caused by alcohol.
The Irishman is on like a 12-second delay as far as I can tell.
No.
I think that's just for you.
It seems to be pretty on.
Hi, sir.
Hey, can you...
Do another Bitches Brew, John and Lee. I was thinking Summer Shandies.
Oh, I like that idea. Okay, let's do that.
Can we somehow...
I dare you to say it to see... Let's see how drunk Lee is.
Can we somehow make it Dragon Con themed? That way pass it off as a 50 day.
So sure, we'll figure that out.
Is it 77 days this year? What are you doing, John?
It's still only 50.
129 days to Dragon Con.
Jesus Christ.
121, not 29, 21.
It's only 52 days, though, right now. Just so you know.
Is it around the Dragon Con at 80 days? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Aaron, do you have any way to turn up the volume on your mic?
Twist the knob, Aaron.
Then I sit down.
Not on the microphone itself, but I'll try and find a setting in Google Plus to see if there's anything I can do with it.
Keep in mind, we're not talking about Lee's safety vest.
I, I bet he needs to twist something else about his volume.
Wiggle the knob.
Hope there's not a short in it.
There's nothing on a. Oh, you're in. You're on a Mac, aren't you?
I am indeed, sir.
Oh.
Well, I can't help you.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, and it went well, from well, here
so
to...
so Widge, Frank, what were we talking about?
Well, I don't know. Surf was about to say something. What were you saying, Surf?
Has anyone tried or started to watch the AMC show Halt and Catch Fire?
Yes, sir.
No.
What?
How is it?
I've watched four episodes. I'm watching Halt it. And I'm catch catching fire. Up. And I'm digging it. It's fun. It's a bit tech, but it's fun. I've enjoyed it.
It is really tech heavy. It is not necessarily a accurate portrayal of the tech world in the 80s, but
is that the one that's like the Silicon Valley thing on well, whatever
it's,
channel?
It actually takes place in Austin.
In Texas, for sure.
I think it's Austin. But it's the Silicon Prairie is what they called that back then. So,
it's about a fictional company trying to make the first laptop and beat IBM to the punch. And so far through four episodes, I've enjoyed it very much. It has the guy that played Ned the Pie Maker from Pushing Daisies.
Oh,
Lee Pace?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
He's in it. He does a great job. His character is you think you're going down one road, and then by the end of the episode you realize, wow, he has had you fooled. He's moving a different direction altogether.
He is an 80s version of Don Draper.
Accurate, yeah.
But
does he have the penis?
He appears to wear underwear, if that's what you're asking.
I'm not sure how to answer that.
Most guys do, Lee.
Most guys.
Most.
Unless you're on Game of Thrones.
Well, anyway, I would recommend it. I would recommend trying to catch some of it, at least catch a few episodes. Here it's on demand, and you can watch it basically at any time. So nice strong, Aaron. Sorry.
Sorry.
What's happening?
Not my phone.
No, Aaron.
Symphony is stalking me.
Aaron's having fun with a Google Hangouts. Scott has left the room, but he has not really left the room.
I see.
Is that an note to get?
Shit.
So basically, Servant John,
someone screen
just need to
that.
Pick you up whatever hotel you are.
Someone screen
to pick
that.
You up at the airport. You're already at the hotel. Good to know. Okay,
I'll put up the package for you.
Oh dear Lord, I'm scarred for life. I should never have clicked back into that window.
That was totally worth switching video on just for a second.
I really hope someone screen captured that.
Yay! We can make money. There are lots of women perverts out there. It'll be awesome. Go.
The one time I'm not actually recording this damn thing. I mean, I am recording it audio-wise, but not video-wise.
So, do we want to describe to the listening audience what was going on? Or
yes, anybody? Basically, Scott was presented with the digital equivalent of a glory hole.
By Aaron.
No, wrong direction. It was going up. It was in a glory hole. It'd be like this. It'd be sideways.
Okay, it's a glory grave.
It's a glory incline.
No, there's no gray. No, if it's gray, you got to go see the public health nurse.
Grave.
No,
grave.
Happy
one,
grave.
Two, three. Did you hear that, Lee?
Nope.
Wow.
Oh, I have a question. Now that I've got a bunch of people who are in Mickey Faust, I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
When you were in the relationships you're in now, before you got engaged, what did you call each other?
We called each other by our names.
Well, I meant this is my blank, my son Cosette, or this is my blank John. What term did you use?
My son's in the room.
Engagement.
No, I said
when we were not fiance, not husband and wife.
I said this is my boyfriend. I did use boyfriend for my
friend. This is my girlfriend Jen.
Yeah. Boyfriend, girlfriend.
We use boyfriend and girlfriend.
Oh, I've never heard of any other phrase being partner. Used.
Well, partner implies indicates kind of a little bit more commitment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't you just say boyfriend?
What?
Why would
No. The reason
why would you choose to say? Why wouldn't you say this is my boyfriend or this is my partner? I mean, I think partner kind of implies a little bit more gravitas.
Yeah,
hold on. Well, the reason I bring it up is one of the skits we did in this show was a couple who a lesbian couple, and one of them and they were going to have a party, and one of them asked, "Well, how are you going to introduce me to people?" And she said, "Well, just this is Marge," and she was like, "What? So our relationship is, you know, we've been together so long, and this is how you just like that." And they go through the various, you know, the terms that people use, and it we go through the various terms and, you know, the pros and cons, like boyfriend and girlfriend can sound a little, you know, junior high.
Well, especially if you're a lesbian couple.
True. But partner isn't really what you would call, you know, your business partner, tennis partner, writing partner.
Crime fighters.
You know, and, of course, significant other is like 2PC. And, you know, when we were rehearsing, it led to some very interesting discussions of, you know, what terms do you use, especially for couples like JJ and Elizabeth. They're not planning to get married anytime soon, but they're in a long-term relationship. So it's, you know, you, it's interesting, you know, trying to figure out the, you know, the languages. What are you doing? I wanted to ask people who were sort of in Mickey Faust, who have sort of quote unquote traditional relationships.
Well, I think the difference is if you're dating somebody but you're not serious enough to get engaged yet, I think most people I know use boyfriend and girlfriend, or boyfriend and boyfriend, or girlfriend and girlfriend. Like, they use that terminology.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if either because it's not legal where you live, or because you as a couple don't want to get married as like a sign of being serious or the next stage of your relationship, I've heard people use partner to signify a similarly monogamously committed but not actually legally married relationship.
Right.
I mean, that's what I've most heard people
use. It's just like I said.
Are we talking about like prior to or after marriage? Because the issue there after marriage, prior is just boyfriend or, significant other.
If we can cut to the chase, really what's going on here is Scott C. is thinking about getting a relationship, and the person wants to refer to him as their live-in fuck toy, and he wants to know if that's weird.
No, not for Scott.
Wait a minute. Who am I talking to? Come on.
Not my job.
What?
Sounds pretty good for Scott.
Yeah. No, it's just like I said, it was a very interesting – it led to some very interesting discussions during the rehearsal period about – and some of the things we talk about is even if couples do get married, you know, do you – like for lesbian couples, a lot of lesbians do not want to be called the wife, because they find that to be, even nowadays, sort of the lesser of the relationship.
Fine. Then they can go by spouse.
Yeah, that sounds like they have an infestation.
That's
the joke.
Kicking mouse.
But it is interesting. I mean, the conclusion we have in the piece is really the language, I think, hasn't really caught up to some of this new stuff. And so,
well, and I've heard similar conversations for older people who are in relationships, especially like when seniors who are widowed or have gotten divorced but they're older are starting to date again, and they're like, I don't want to call this person my boyfriend.
Well, yeah,
65, that sounds weird.
Exactly, that was one of the reasons.
There's, Yeah, so I think there is kind of a void in the English language for that sort of thing that I don't think any particular suggestion is a universal fit for.
Well, Scott, you could say
so, Kim,
this is my
should we
next
just like
boyfriend.
Old friend? Or old friend. I like old friend instead of boyfriend.
No.
Yes, but Lee, you're my old friend because I've known you for like 15 years, so...
No, but we're not dating. So I'm not your old friend. No, it's just
well, right,
old
that's what I'm saying.
Friend yeah. with people who no. are dating.
Ambiguity.
Say something again, Aaron.
I was just saying she's old.
Yeah, you're like so much better now.
Oh, okay, I am gonna totally spin the nut.
Great,
you're done.
Much better, Mike. Did you say you were going
to
spin the nut?
This, like,
what?
Actually serious and shit. It was just like it was something that came up during the rehearsal period, and you know, it's like I was kind of curious to talk about it with other people, and it's like I haven't been on for a while. It's like, oh yeah, I can actually talk about this with you guys. So I was just curious because it is something that is sort of popping up with the whole new marriage thing and everything. So
I think basically,
yeah, you're the English major. What's your opinion?
Yeah, well, I will tell you. I think lesbian couples should one should be the Baroness and the other should be the Marquesa.
I agree.
Ooh. Mm.
Ooh, I will pass that along.
I will pass that along.
How did they decide who is who? Is it mutually? If
mutual
they can't
agreement.
Mutually agree, then
I love it. Three
I think
people like
trying to dice.
Three people. Like, oh, that's it. Oh, that's it. And Lee's like,
I'm just sitting here quietly. I'm listening. No, I'm just listening. Keep going.
I always wanted to be the Baroness from G.I. Joe when I was little. I thought she was so cool. She was way cooler. Cobra did not deserve her. She deserved a higher class of criminal.
Speaking of, I think speaking on behalf of most guys my age, we thought the Baroness was pretty cool too.
I kind of wanted to be the Baroness.
Alpha getting very sweaty.
What's that?
Aaron, do you have the Baroness's glasses on currently?
Yeah, but with like some nerd tape on the sides. The 3D glasses with the lens popped out. It makes me feel smart.
No.
Don't make me draw dicks on you again, Scott.
I'm the last person who would actually be bothered by that, so go ahead.
Aaron, you're a natty beard short.
Challenge accepted.
Soccer, so you're fine.
Yeah. I'm okay. I'm comfortable with it.
You know, whenever you talk about Jarvis Cocker, I always mix him up with somebody else. Joe Cocker, I think.
Most people do.
Wow.
It's Although, just one of those similar named people that I always mix up, like Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton.
Yeah, see, I would like to see Jarvis Cocker doing a Joe Cocker version of Little Help from My Friends.
Which of them was in Newsies again?
What?
This is the first time I've had a pearl necklace, so it's okay.
Those aren't pearls.
Whoever's drawing that penis, I gotta say, does not have the same sort of artistry that I do.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, now I see the... Yeah. No. No. I expect better.
It's deformed.
I want a higher quality of penis, goddammit. I deserve it.
I think...
That looks like Charlie Brown's fist.
No.
Wow.
Whoa! Oh,
no, ladies, okay. I've heard some compliments before.
No. Stop.
That's also not pearls.
Wait a minute. So Scott... So
well,
the
that's
title,
what I said by meant by a pearl necklace.
The title of this episode is not going to be Fisted by Charlie Brown.
No. No.
Good grief!
Charlie Brown's back and he's two-fisted.
You've got an STD, Charlie Brown.
This is you people doing this. I had nothing to. I had nothing to do with this. This is you people.
You're a good lady.
You
Charlie
people.
Brown.
What do you mean by that?
Mean by you people.
Yeah.
You people. Not
that
me.
A straights reference.
Yeah, that's what I meant, Breeder.
Breeder. He's not in the Breeders. I have to say, Aaron, somehow I've turned on video again. Somehow those glasses make you look like a blonde Alan Cumming.
Speaking
of
Alan Cumming,
I've been told on many occasions that I look like Alan Cumming, so I'm used to it.
No, he said Ellen, like the daytime TV show host. It's actually having an orgasm.
I've been told by many Ellens before that they are Cumming, so I'm used to that.
Nine out of ten Ellens agree.
Oh dear God. So okay, so speaking of,
definitely have the album art.
Oh God!
I mean the podcast art.
So I'm so glad I turned everything off.
yeah.
So speaking of leaking, no, speaking of leaked pilots, did anyone see the? Sorry, it's the Constantine pilot, because apparently pronouncing it Constantine like it's supposed to be is a bit too weird for people.
Well, it is NBC.
Yeah. Did anyone see
it? It's like that song from Annie.
The sun will come out.
Okay.
No, the one where she talks about the Argentine.
Well, the Argentine picture.
Anyway.
Okay, I have to ask. I am not that familiar with Hellblazer, which it's called. And I've heard this from several other sources. How important is it that he is not smoking?
Well, they showed him putting out a cigarette at one point. You didn't see him smoking.
Right. And I've actually heard that's a thing that they can't do on network TV.
Which is sort of silly.
Not for
because...
the hero, probably.
Well, hang on. It's in this. It's occupying the slot Hannibal's usually in. So I'm not sure there's not a whole lot that you can do on that time slot. So
I need to do some research to make sure. But I think it is like either something they've agreed to, or it's actually a law where network television, like NBC, CBS, ABC, cannot show smoking. What the hell are you drawing?
I don't think
you cannot do that on television. That's
it's probably
show altogether.
It's probably their standard practices guidelines.
So
I'm gonna guess Pokemon. Is that what we're going with?
I'm gonna guess Leprechaun.
Well, okay. They said I think Scott.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, we're being distracted by people drawing shit. What not serious?
It's win, lose, or draw. The home edition.
I don't think he was drawing that.
The adult edition. No, so, but I mean that he doesn't smoke. How? I mean, I've heard some people say this is like a big thing, and I wanted to ask.
Well,
people
it's comics, Scott. No matter what they did, some people would think it was.
Well,
a big thing.
No, but hang on. Let me explain. There is a very prominent story arc of his character. In which spoilers, but it was a comic and it was years ago, so you should have fucking read it. He got lung cancer, and basically, you know, you fight all these demons or whatever, but you've got fucking cancer, and so he had to deal with that. And it was one of those, probably one of the biggest story arcs, the most known story arcs that he was in. So it is sort of integral to the character, you know.
Sure, they had a bit of it in the movie, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but
if we answer that question, do we have to admit that we saw the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen worse.
You read the Wikipedia entry.
So it seems like the sort of thing that if I didn't already have a completely full plate of actually good television to watch, I would probably watch it. But what the?
I'm going to say Leprechaun again.
That was weird.
But no, so apparently I'm the only one that's seen it. Again, legally acquired.
What channel is it supposed to be on? Is it on NBC or?
It will be, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on, yeah.
So.
Isn't The Flash, I've read things The Flash pilot is out there.
Oh yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's legally acquirable as well. But, I mean, if you're curious, watch them both. Otherwise, if you skip them, you would not be sad. I'm just saying.
Hashtag just saying.
Yeah, just saying.
Better keep that hashtag for the kids.
So, okay, so here's another question. Is it – okay, something that's actually, you know, out where it can be viewed. Is anyone watching The Leftovers? I am not.
Yes, I am.
Okay, how is it?
It's not bad. I understand it's based on a book. I have not read the book because I don't read. In fact, I don't know how to read.
Is it the same thing that ABC show is based on?
of the was it Resurrection?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it was
Because wasn't it one of them had the rights to the book and the other one have the rights to the Dutch television series that was based in the book? Is that what it is?
Really?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But it's good. It's actually really good. I'm enjoying it.
I see what this is. No, it's Resurrection, which I have not watched, is based on.
I think it's been canceled.
Book, well, it's a book called The Returned, but it is apparently similar to The Revenants, which is a French series, which is eerily similar to a short story I wrote about 4 years before the about 4 years before the series came out. I might.
Oh, can you sue them?
But yeah, basically it's a non-zombie show in which people just come back from the dead.
Talk to Ron. Maybe you can sue him. That's your business plan.
Well, but the thing I've heard about The Leftovers, okay, obviously, John, I think that you would have interest in it because it
the
was
Lost Connection.
Exactly, The Lost Connection.
Damon Lindelof.
However, I'm not willing to give it a shot until I think four episodes are in, and then I want to kind of binge watch, catch four episodes back to back to back to back, and decide if I want to keep investing.
Who's all in that? That's Eccleston's one of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Eccleston's one of them. He
Doctor Who person.
He so far hasn't been
Actually, I think a couple of Doctor Who people are in that, actually.
Oh, you're just killing me.
He hasn't been a key figure yet, but the preview for next week looks like he is.
Wait. Listen.
She's snoring.
Oh my god, she's asleep.
Hold on, if everyone's quiet, we can verify it.
If I know you what listen this part closely, you can hear them in their natural habitat.
In the write-up for Weekend Justice, this is going to be Lee sleeping.
Kids, drink responsibly.
Or don't.
That's right. So,
isn't this like a podcast foul? You know, like if you fall asleep during a... You fall asleep during a party. You know, we get to draw like.
I feel like we're doing PGA coverage now.
If we switch to the infrared camera, we can see the North American Lee curled up and asleep underneath the empty beer bottles. Did she wake up?
Might have.
Lee.
Wait, if we don't hear her snoring, should we send someone to check on her?
Ooh. Someone call Andrew.
See, there's podcast etiquette.
Me.
Wakey, wakey.
This is the new show Lee starring in.
I'm awake.
It's called... The new show Lee is in is called The Hangovers.
What? I was talking to my child. Shut up.
I was talking to my child. I was speaking snore.
Sure.
My child and I speak in snores.
I was not snoring. I am going to bed now.
Good night, Lee.
Love you.
Good night.
Call me for God's sake.
I called you.
Yes, and I called you back twice.
No.
Happy Closer Day.
Yay.
I called you. Shut up. Yay. Happy Closer Day. Bye.
Bye.
It's the happiest holiday.
Well, that's just
Summer Shandy Bitches Brew.
Lee was too busy carousing during Agent Coulson Day. That's why she's passed out and drunk.
I am not.
That's okay.
She was very excited that Brazil lost.
No, I was.
By six goals, for crying out loud.
By six goals.
Oh, God. I would not want to be in.
That's almost a football score. A real football score.
What's happening? What?
That was a moment of sports, which never mind.
Oh, okay. I heard Scott say Rio, and I was like, well, what, are they doing a third movie already?
I know, they're talking, he's talking about Duran Duran.
Oh. Oh, Sand Dancing.
I think he has one of them in the room right now, actually.
What, Duran or Duran?
I think Duran.
Okay.
I think it was actually Duran, honey.
Are you sure? I thought it might have been Duran.
Is there an echo in here?
The Duran was evolved down from the Duran Ron, so... And that was your weird trying to get away from sports moment, folks.
Anything to escape from the sport.
SportsCenter brought to you by.
I think the real winner is sport in this, honestly. So, that was a fascinating leftovers report.
there's nothing much to report other than it's actually pretty decent.
Okay.
So you'd recommend staying with it, huh?
Yeah.
Because how many episodes in is it, actually? Is it just one?
Two.
I think it's two.
Okay.
Two, and it's, what is it? It's 10 episode, I think? I'm not sure. Anyway. I was just curious, are they going to do a Kirk Cameron cameo because it's so close to the Left Behind series?
Well, aren't they already doing, like, a reboot of that with Nicolas Cage?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, what? I forgot about that.
Nicolas Cage is playing Kirk Cameron? That's low.
Well, I mean, have you seen Ghost Rider?
No, actually, I haven't.
The man just needs a paycheck.
I don't believe those things exist in my reality.
There's a Henry Rollins song called Ghost Rider, which is okay.
No, that's quite good, actually.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a cover?
Is it?
Is it Toughly? Because I thought a lot of the stuff on The Crow was covers.
I don't know. Because, no, I don't think so.
Oh, I was just curious.
That seems like it would be right up his alley to write something, you know, kind of quick like that and be like, yeah, sure, I'll put it on your album.
Yeah, it makes sense. I know that, like, what was it?
The Ravenette song isn't a cover either.
How was that? Well, I was looking on Wikipedia, which apparently is missing it. Someone edited it away from there, you bastards! Oh, wait, yes. Because
that was a way out take, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's based on a... I think it's a cover of something by a band called Suicide.
Okay. No, I'll believe it. It sounded like it was... That timing would probably put it somewhere near weight, wouldn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, what is it?
Hey!
And your obscure movie reference... Obscure music reference, I should say.
Well, it's like... Because Dead Souls on there, of course, was Joy Division, so...
Yeah.
Which I didn't know for forever. But, oh, it's JJ!
Hello.
Howdy.
Hello.
So, JJ, have you seen the North American Rocks?
No.
Do you know when you're going to see the North American Rocks? Because Serve was setting an ambush or something.
I think it's later this month.
Yeah, it is. It is in July. Yes.
Yeah, she put out a schedule, but why am I growing a hat?
Hey, it could be worse. It could be a lot worse.
No, Scott, I was just curious Scott
adopted, I think, a leprechaun.
Fallback position from Casa de JJ.
Wait, what?
And people wonder why I don't turn video on.
Oh, you turn video on.
God damn it, this fucking thing keeps moving.
Okay,
let's start again.
Is he drawing the Android head? Is that what he's doing?
Mark the time.
Anyway, I'm basically the fallback position for the Portland swing of the Rocks North American tour.
I figured it was probably new because it was never mentioned for me.
Oh, really? So she's not planning on staying with you at all?
No, I have a studio. She never even talks to me about it.
Congratulations, Serve!
No kidding. guess I really need to know when she's coming into town.
She's at the bus station right now going, where the fuck is Serve?
Yeah, no kidding.
I believe you've born it of Spaz House. I think you should name her Rocks.
Rocks, Rocks, Rocks.
The Spaz House Embassy on the West Coast. Oh, God. So what else? Oh, okay. So here's a question. Talking about people watching things. Mm. I did not know that they had made a TV show based on the movie Legion.
Dominion.
Dominion, yes. I cannot believe.
What that is?
Yes. Yeah. Now I'm talking about Legion, the unfortunate Paul Bettany Angels versus Machine Guns film.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
He's so awesome. They need to give him better movies. But he's going to be in Ultron, and that makes me happy.
That's good, because it's sad that when you think about it, his best role before that's probably been Knight's Tale.
No, I was thinking Master and Commander.
Yeah, he was good in that. That's true. I didn't like the film very much, but
he was good in it.
Oh no,
he was very well cast as that character.
You're absolutely correct. He was good in it. So yes, I don't know anything. I think it takes place like 25 years after the film. So they can basically distance themselves from that crap. And I don't know anything else
Wasn't
about it.
Wasn't he in that movie where they upload Johnny Depp to the internet, too?
Was Transcendence? He? Did anyone see that?
I was watching the trailer, and I was like, ooh, Paul Bettany, maybe I'll go see this. And by the end of the trailer, I was like, oh, hell no, that looks awful. And I was disappointed because Paul Bettany, but even Paul Bettany couldn't get me to see that film.
Well, that and Morgan Freeman,
and
basically.
I went to see Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
But
that's saying something.
And Morgan Freeman is in Transcendence, basically playing the same character he is in Lucy.
Yeah. Now, Lucy, I think, looks pretty cool.
No, it does.
That's what I'm
going to
go see.
No, don't get me wrong. Morgan Freeman is great in everything, no matter how crap it is. So.
Armageddon?
He's in Armageddon?
No, he was in the other one, Deep Impact.
That was the app.
Well, yeah, he was great in Deep Impact. But you have to understand, Deep Impact, the script for that was amazing. They just fucked it up.
It doesn't help that it really sounds kind of like a porn title.
Well, their problem was that
Deep Impact.
They blinked. Armageddon was supposed to be the popcorn film, and Deep Impact was supposed to be the thought-provoking human side of it. And they decided to try to make themselves more like Armageddon and wound up not pleasing anyone.
Yeah.
It was awful. Which
is a shame with a title like Deep Impact. You think so?
And their Aerosmith song sucked. Oh, wait, the other one sucked too. Come on.
Well, they went with Dude Looks Like a Lady, which didn't really seem...
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, and there's only so much you can do with Morgan Freeman and that kind of thing.
No,
it's good.
When given the opportunity, never go for anything off the Permanent Vacation album. Just don't.
And that was your Aerosmith advice with Cuffley.
And if you go back in time, don't go see that tour either. It was terrible.
Also, don't go breaking my heart.
I couldn't if I tried.
And don't go chasing waterfalls either.
And speaking of which, Aaron, stop dragging my heart around.
I've run out of music puns now. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, don't let the sun go down on you.
There was one there.
That sounds incestuous.
Don't you forget about me, though. Whatever you do.
Wait, who are you? Oh, dear God.
See, I can't even participate in the conversation because I'm watching a scene get built around my image.
What? Oh.
Wow. Is that Trogdor the Burninator behind you?
What the hell is happening? Oh, I see.
There's a whole other show going on in the show.
It's like suddenly, dear listeners, JJ has suddenly found himself in an episode of Adventure Time. It's really weird. Oh, God.
I just want to know, what is that flying behind Scott's head?
Hold on.
I think it's a well-endowed I think it's a well-endowed purple spider.
Actually, wow. It kind of looks like...
it looks like Gonzo's eye.
Yeah,
I was thinking it. Yeah,
except it's like he's mostly like, invisible except for his nose and his eyes.
It's like you're being chased by Gonzo the Night Stalker. It's weird.
This is
makes for riveting listening. I'm sure
this is terrifying.
See, people, this is why you should give us money. Then we could afford to do a video podcast.
I don't think we need a budget. We've already topped half the podcasts out there now.
No. This is definitely going to win the Parsec. I'm just saying.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Though today is the day that legal cannabis became sold in the state of Washington, by the time you listeners hear it, that'll be old news. But I think that's important.
Well, I think then they can enjoy the video.
Why at least for me personally.
Why would you think that's important?
Just from a personal liberty standpoint?
Some liberties are important.
Hasn't it been like 6 months since Colorado went legal and it amazingly hasn't fallen to the depths of hell?
Yeah, 7 months. They went legal January 1st.
And, sir, if they've made how much money off of it?
Oh, it's – they've sold like $202 million, and of that they get like, I don't know, 20 or 30 million in tax revenue. So, yeah, Colorado will probably have nice roads to drive on pretty soon.
Yeah, I think that's what's ultimately
going to – It's like they follow me everywhere.
Wait, legalizing pot gets your roads?
The people of Colorado? What?
No, the Gonzo eyes.
Oh.
Scott's just weaving his head back and forth like one of those birds.
But so do they. That's the thing.
I'm so confused.
Anyway, sir. It's tagged to your face, Scott.
I think Scott went to Washington earlier.
We've secretly switched Scott's Folgers crystals with the new Mastodon album. Let's watch what happens.
So, sir, I'm thinking that basically, as other states see all the tax revenue, they're probably going to go, okay, fuck it. We just need to go do this.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I think that the more states that join in, the less revenue they're going to get. Colorado benefited from a lot of at least early marijuana tourism. Yeah.
Well, so and that. Also – the entrepreneurs who are making cannabis-infused everything.
Yes, absolutely.
But where Colorado has messed up, at least, is they haven't – they do have cannabis tourism, but it's still not really legal to go anywhere. So they need to figure out a way to open, you know, Denmark-style coffee shops.
Well, as I understand it, clubs. If you guys just stay in your hotel room getting high, it's not really that bad of a deal.
Still frowned upon, though.
Yeah, there's that, but there's also clubs, and I believe that you can buy like a day membership. So not, you know, not Amsterdam or Holland style, you know, come in here to the coffee shop and smoke up. But
so sort of like the Dave and Buster's Power Cards, right?
Similar.
Oh, wait, sir, I've got
different
it.
Different kind of power altogether.
Sir, I've got it. I want you – you should. I'm giving you this idea. You can take it with it, run with it, okay?
Okay, I've got what, a week before it gets posted for everybody to hear?
Yeah. So get on it. But okay, yes, do a club. Do a cannabis club. But do it like, you know, those old school Victorian men's clubs where it's all – or it's all extremely lush and posh and you know, you everyone's like finely dressed in like tuxes and stuff like that. But
so the Diogenes.
But yes, the Diogenes Club. But smoking huge spliffs. I want that.
No, it won't work. It won't work. The hippies will bitch about the leather seats.
Well, they obviously haven't smoked enough, Scott.
As soon as
it's like they gradually move from room to room. The less they care, the more inappropriate. I don't know.
I don't know. I love it when your jokes implode.
As soon as it becomes legal here in Oregon, and there'll be a strip club where you can smoke. I mean, we have vegan strip clubs, for Christ's sake.
Wait, vegan strip clubs? How does that work?
Yeah, it's actually not that far from where I live. It's called like Casa Diablo.
The girls are not allowed to lactate.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Do they just peel? Wait. Does a chick get naked and then peel a radish on stage? Is that what happens?
I haven't been there, but sure, if that's your fetish, I imagine you could probably.
And by peel a radish, I mean literally peel a radish. I don't mean.
I was trying to figure out what that was a euphemism for.
Well, if it's a daikon radish, it could be pretty phallic.
That's true.
And that was Radish Moments with your host, JJ.
But Siri, is it just that they serve like vegan dishes, and that's because some places actually do serve food to get around, like
Ginger, stop shaking your booty over the salad bar.
Yeah, no, it's
thank God for the sneeze guard.
It was a vegan restaurant that was failing, so they added tattooed chicks because it's Portland.
That's what we
do. As you do, right? Yeah.
So basically, it's a Sweet Tomatoes as run by the Suicide Girls.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, wow. That's a terrifying.
I mean, I've never heard of the Suicide Girls. What are they?
Mm-hmm. The soup bar is. Oh, wait.
They did that Ghost Rider song that Rollins
made. I am so not touching the clam chowder.
Ew.
That wouldn't be vegan anyway.
Yes, Scott. Vegan fail.
Yeah. Vegan fail.
Not that kind of.
Go nosh on some meat, Scott.
Wow. Hello.
Meat eater.
Well, put another dick on my screen and I might do that.
Meat swallower.
Throw another dick on fire.
So somebody draw a picture of Richard Nixon in his window.
Ew, no.
There's your nice tricky dick.
Oh.
I would like to say, though, it's kind of nice to now that. So you said, Adventure Time appeared behind me. But to be specific, Aaron has drawn a Viking helmet on me and apparently fiery plunder, which basically means that Aaron's the only person I know that actually thinks that I'm tough. Everybody I know actually just thinks of me as good.
You took a gun to the chest. I know how tough you are.
That's true.
Well, thank you, Aaron.
Well, JJ,
Did you really take a gun to the chest?
You are a tough looking dude. You are one nice motherfucker. So
yeah, we think you're nice. We don't think you're a pussy. It's cool.
I want to hear the gun to the chest thing.
You had to have heard this, but the short story is after the Lost panel, the first year I went to Dragon Con, somebody dropped a gun off of a like third story.
It was in a bag, so yeah. Remember. So we didn't know it was a gun initially. We just thought someone threw a bag.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. And all of a sudden it was just like, what?
It hit me in the chest, knocked the wind out of me, hit me hard enough that it made me bleed profusely through my shirt.
Wow.
And yeah.
I had not heard that story.
Probably one of the football people.
I had a gun-shaped bruise on my chest for about a year, actually.
That sounds like ink that in with a tattoo.
That is a great name for an album, Gun-Shaped Bruise.
Or a band, really.
Oh, yeah, open carry went into effect in Georgia. Good luck.
Nazi made of bees.
Do you know what other law went into effect in Georgia on the 1st of July? The slowpoke law.
Yeah, Scott.
Okay, that sounds really rude.
Ladies.
God. No, Georgia now has a law that if you are driving in the left lane and somebody comes up behind you that's going faster than you are required by law to get over and let them pass, or it's a misdemeanor.
No matter how fast they're going?
No matter how fast they're going.
Yep.
Wow.
Way to go, Georgia.
So let me get
progressive.
So let me get this straight. So if there's like five cars in the lane next to me.
Okay. No, if you are prohibited by there being other traffic or construction or some other obstacle, you don't have to get over until it is possible to do so.
But as soon as it's possible to do so, you still
have to get over.
But I don't get to speed up to get around the people in the lane next to me.
You can wave your gun because open carry.
Yeah, no, you can't.
See, I think you guys are missing the really important thing here. The really important thing here that you guys are missing is the fact that they're thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana.
and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes.
Eastbound down, loaded up and
trucking. Hey, and then JJ, then next we can tote an elephant around.
That's less successful, though.
Oh, definitely. Especially when you try to drink it.
And then, what? You just get slimmed down to Jerry Reed and a dog?
Bandit,
yeah,
you.
Third one. Yeah, I saw it. What are you going to do?
Bandit, you reckless, and you live much too hard.
And then you get a TV movie or two? Supposed, like, son takes over or something?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay. Really? I didn't get that.
No, I remember that.
There was a, for a little while, I can't remember, there were four movies in the comedy series out of, it was like Son of the Bandit, and then there was sequels to Midnight Run, and I can't remember what the other two were.
I remember that Midnight because
Runner, JJ. JJ.
Wasn't that like the same syndication package that like Tech War and like Babylon 5 were stuck together with?
Probably.
Yeah.
Why do you have that information in your head?
Wait a minute.
Why not?
Yes, which Tech War was a series.
No, I know.
Why do you have a weird purple butterfly hanging around your head? I mean, we've all got things in our heads. We just have to deal with them, okay?
Thank you, Aaron.
So a television series aired in 1994.
I was 11.
Shut up.
Congratulations.
Is that it?
Thank you.
Congratulations on your youth. It'll go away soon.
Oh, yes.
I'm 30 now.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, 1994 television films, Bandit Goes Country, Bandit, what the fuck?
Beauty that was and w the your Bandit, W Your Pleasure, I think.
Strangely enough, that was a Smokey and the Bandit, Johnny Quest crossover.
And the soundtrack was by Duran Duran. Beauty and the Bandit and Bandit Silver Angel. So basically you had four television films in 1994. 1994. So that's what?
John, look up.
That was 20 years ago, Edge.
No, not even that. I'm just saying that's 17 years after the original film.
Yes.
And but Hal Needham actually created those.
Yes.
Oh my God. I did not know this.
Mm-hmm.
Fail.
It's all ruined now. Good God.
Oh, and by the way, Tech War was a television show.
I knew that! And, wait, here you go. Here you go, Kim. Here's a tie-in for you.
Yes.
Brian Bloom, who played the Bandit in those series of films, is the voice of the Punisher in the Avengers Confidential Black Widow and Punisher animated film.
Wow.
Was Cyborg in the Lego Batman movie. Was Ultraman in the Crisis on Two Earths Justice League movie. And he was the voice of the Zodiac in the Zodiac movie, that horrible David Fincher 3.5-hour meandering mess.
I always kind of want to see that because it's got so many people in it I like, and they're wearing comical 70s ties.
That's just to fool you and rope you into using up 3.5 hours of your life that you don't
get
back.
But the Science Bros are in it.
I know.
You do realize she already mentioned the Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunter thing, right?
Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters was very entertaining.
I'm not saying it
was good. I'm saying that it was entertaining. There's a difference.
I'm not watching Zodiac.
Did I tell you I wanted you to watch Zodiac?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Hey, we don't want any domestic disturbances on the podcast.
Did she tell you you could watch it? No, she didn't tell you you could fucking watch it. Sit down, Tuffley.
I mean,
yeah.
He already watched TV with me this weekend. He doesn't have to watch other things, too.
Yeah,
because I watched Hawaii Five-0 this weekend, I get a pass.
And it was fun.
You know, I have to say, I watched the pilot of that, and it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good enough for me to keep watching.
It's entertaining. The thing that's the funniest about it, and we're talking about the remake, not the old one.
Right.
The thing that was the funniest about it is, so they're trying to make it like a new kind of, it's not really a procedural, it's more like an action movie that's just a TV show. You know, it's much more...
It had a very Burn Notice feel when I watched it.
It's a lot more action-y than it is procedure-y.
Right.
More like an action cop movie type tone. But But I like it. I think it's funny, and I like the people on it, and it's pretty cool. Plus, it has a lot of hot people, if you like to watch shows with hot people. But anyway,
it is very warm in Hawaii. That's true.
That's true, and they take their shirts off a lot.
Oh, is it on the CW? That.
But no, they're too old for it to be on the CW.
Oh, okay.
See, remember,
they're slightly out of the CW's age range.
They're slightly out of the CW's age range.
So yeah, this is CBS, remember, so yeah.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, like, the cold open is almost always, like, somebody getting horribly kidnapped or assaulted or them finding a body or something like that. But they kept the old Hawaii Five-O theme music. So, like, there's this episode in the first season where a police officer has been killed, and the murderer took the police officer's body and buried it in a luau pit, like, took the pig out and put the police officer in there, and he got barbecued overnight. So when all the tourists go to the luau, and they're like, no, we're done with the hula dance, and we're going to open up the fire pit, it's like a person there, and everybody's horrified, and, like, all the tourists are like, oh, you know, and it goes straight from the shot of the horrible charred corpse to da-da-da-da-da, and it's just... The tone mismatch is so funny to me, because I think that kind of stuff is funny.
So are you looking forward to Kill the Messenger, Kim?
I'm going to recommend Hawaii Five-O when it comes time to recommendations.
What? I'm sure, but are you looking forward to Kill the Messenger?
I'm not sure I know what that is.
Oh, my God. I am going to take away your Jeremy Renner fan club badge.
Oh, no, no, oh, that one. No. That, okay, no, yeah, that
she
one.
Knows, Wedge. She
okay.
Knows.
No, yes, I am very much looking forward to Kill the Messenger, actually.
Yeah,
I forgot that's the title of that one.
Yeah,
that's the one that comes out on my birthday, right?
October 10th.
Yes.
There you go. And it has a killer fucking cast in it.
Yeah, I think it looks really good.
It really does. I saw the trailer in front of Snowpiercer.
Yay.
You like Snowpiercer?
I saw it this weekend. Loved it.
It has Captain America in it. I haven't seen it yet, though, because it's not playing anywhere here, I don't think.
It was.
It was.
Place in Alpharetta or somewhere?
It was in like four different places. The closest one to us was Barrett Parkway, so...
We thought about going to see it over 4th of July weekend, and then we decided that, well, and then I bought Hawaii Five-O Season 1 for $15 and decided I was going to watch that instead because I didn't want to go anywhere.
Binge watching Singham.
Oh, God.
Whereas it was almost 100 here this weekend, so I went to two different movies to get out of my unair-conditioned house.
What was the other one?
Well, just to piss off Aaron, I saw Amazing Spider-Man 2. But it was the second one.
I'm sorry.
I still haven't seen it.
Sorry.
The funny thing is, I enjoyed the film more than I think some people did, but I couldn't get that fucker's voice out of my head the whole fucking time.
Which fucker?
The fucking Irish guy. I've watched enough comic book movies with him that everything I knew that he would hate, his voice was in my head going, "That's shit. That shit."
Oh.
It's like, shut up and let me watch the movie, asshole. But no, he wouldn't shut up.
I'm glad I've some, like, through osmosis, just given you some sort of quality control and that you're willing to understand a movie as shit now.
It always helps if you go to the movie and take your headphones off.
Now I've got to see this.
Or try to call immigration control.
You made me watch Tank Girl. Fuck you.
Friends You're don't welcome. Let friends watch Tank Girl. What the hell?
Well, I guess Aaron and I aren't friends anymore.
It's part of our job, which we don't get paid for.
Exactly. It's our mission.
Well, the other trailer I saw, which both looks fantastic and really pissed me off, was Most Wanted Man, the Philip Seymour Hoffman, John le Carré film, which looks amazing. And Philip Seymour Hoffman looks incredible, and it just sort of pisses me off that he's gone, you know? What the hell is happening?
Who's ringing somebody?
Oh, is that Rob?
That's Rob.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob!
He joined in twice, because he's got a computer.
He's on Skype, too.
Yeah, what? Well, I'll try.
Wow. So we got sequel. A sequel to Rob. A clone of Rob.
Oh, God, no.
So, yeah, we were just talking about Snowpiercer, Kill the Messenger, and Most Wanted Man.
I haven't gotten to see any of them.
Oh, really? Wow.
I had rocks for 4 days, dude. I was busy.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, wow. Really? Hmm.
So how'd it go?
So he has seen the North American rocks.
How was your leg of the tour?
Oh, it was great. You know, there's a couple interesting things about this. The first is that wherever Rox goes on the tour, before and after she goes, the weather is absolutely horrible. Like, before she got here, it was in, like, the high 90s. She gets here that night, it's in the 50s, and then it doesn't get above, like, 75 the entire time she's here. Then she gets on her bus at 6:30 in the morning on Sunday, and by 10 o'clock, it's, like, 91. So that was interesting. The other interesting thing is that we were kicking around stuff, and that we've learned that there's sort of a weird, dark, athletic underbelly of Need Coffee that frightens us.
What? Huh?
For example,
are you talking about a jockstrap?
Well, Rox was explaining to me that she played lacrosse in high school, and then Widget talked about it skiing, and then we talked about how Dindrain used to play high school football, and then we're quickly realizing, and I played baseball, so then we're quickly realizing that, oh my God, we're all failed jocks.
I would disagree with that. I don't know many jocks that ski.
Well, I'm not saying you're a bad jock. I'm just saying.
I think there are a lot of people in Doubleman ads that would disagree with you.
Marsh to Darsh.
But no, it was fine. She was here for the 4th of July, and she got to ride her bike. She found an abandoned building that she got to go into, so all was well in the world.
And by that, do you mean, Rob, do you mean like she rounded a corner and went, oh, look, an abandoned building, and you were like, where the fuck did that come from? That's never been there before.
No, I actually was working. She came into work, and she goes, hey, I found this abandoned building. I'm like, where? She's like 2 blocks from your house. And I'm like, I've never seen this. How did you find it?
Yeah, so you told her.
She's asked.
She's like, oh, I walked in, took pictures, and left. And I'm like, okay. But, yeah, we went to the art museum, which was kind of weird because the 4th of July here is in Forest Park this year. And so basically, if you wanted to go to the park, you had to go Thursday before 5 because that's when it becomes insane. But they fenced everything in. So, like, literally, it was like Pretoria or something. You know, you're walking around trying to figure out which fence you're getting in out of. But we literally had the art museum to ourselves. So she got to see the Impressionist France show and a Mark Rothko show. And we just kind of got to walk around the museum. For that was cool. And then before that, I took her to see Vincent Price's house because Vincent Price was born here. So we went to his childhood home where he lived at till he was 29 and went to Yale. And I'm like, oh, here it is. So we're in the front. We take pictures. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just see what the garden looks like because he used to do some acting in the garden for kids, you know, when he was a kid, right? And so we're walking around the back. And we hear this woman yelling, hello, what can I do for you? And Rox goes, we're Vincent Price fans. And this very nice Asian woman came up and says, oh, you're one of them. And we're like, yes, but you know, we're gonna let you be. We don't mean to bother you. And she goes, oh, no, come on in. So we have to go see the garden that was there and the backyard of Vincent Price's home. And Rox and the dog that the woman had got along great. And that was it. We couldn't go in the house or anything, but we got to actually see it. And then we also went to – I have a friend of mine who is an astrophysicist, and he has these meteorite samples that are like the oldest mineral samples in a collection – meteorite samples in a collection outside the Smithsonian. So we got to look at them under a microscope.
And then she stole them.
No, she did not steal them. Amazing.
Really?
So, yeah. And 4th of July, we went to the top of the of a building on Washington University's campus that my friend got us into. And I remembered I was afraid of heights, which was great. And it's a secured up thing. So you have to get the key to get up to the fourth floor elevator to get onto the roof. So we're on the elevator coming down after my friend left us out. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my cell phone in his office. So then hilarity ensued, and I got my phone back. But that was fun. 4th of July day itself, we went to – there's a street in San Luis called Cherokee, which is like the big art district. They got all kinds of like just crazy – between stores and shops and everything, even if it's closed, it's still fascinating. So we spent most of the day wandering around Mexican grocery stores. And the coolest thing I think we found was one of the stores had this counter with two red phones where you could pick up the phone and you immediately got a bank in Mexico that would wire you money.
Oh, God, what did rocks do?
We didn't do anything, no. They had piñatas, and they just had weird just all kinds of weird crap that you could just look at. So we did that. And then I think, though, there's a bar on Cherokee Street that called The Fortune Teller. And Rox is like, oh, we got to come back because they have whiskey. What do they call it? You know, they have, like, whiskey, spirits, and fortune telling. Like, you can come at night and get your – and they have an actual fortune teller there. So we go. Last night she's in town. We go there. And, of course – Rox is sitting there, she's getting her fortune told by this woman, and of course she's like, no, it's all wrong. You've got it completely wrong. So that was funny. Cause,
and then got on the other side of the table and proceeded to give her a lesson in cold reading.
No, she just explained to her. No, the woman was great, but Rox just explained to her. She's like, you know, she says, well, I see you taking a trip, and it's going to be happy. And she's like, yes. And then it's like, you're going to not finish your trip because you're going to get an amazing job offer and you're going to stay wherever that is. And she's like, no, I'm not. And she's like, and I see a lawsuit in the future. No, not really. Not going to happen. And she's like, you're going to get a new job. And she's like, well, no, I won't get a job for this year. I promise, you know, but they were very nice. And then literally, I don't know how this happens, but while we're at the bar, we noticed that they took a giant there's a company called Waste Management, and they have those big dumpsters that you can rent, right? Yeah. You throw stuff in. Okay. Basically, what they did is they took the dumpster and they thoroughly clean it and they basically clean the shit out of it, put bleach all over it, all that crap, right? Then they put a false bottom in, right? And they put false walls in. And they fill it full of water, and they make it a mobile swimming pool.
Okay.
And we were both fascinated by that. That just frightened us both.
That is pretty frightening. That just seems like it's just waiting to.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a portable moat then.
Yeah, a portable moat. Exactly. Exactly.
No wonder Rox was enthralled.
And her and Janet got a lot of coffee and ice cream and hung out because I had a couple days I had to work. And, yeah, I mean, it was pretty low-key. I mean, fun. Sorry. Only one fist bump. It was funny the whole weekend. I'm like, you know, we haven't done a fist bump yet. She goes, oh, my God. Oh, we took her to the City Museum.
Okay. What's at the City Museum?
You went there with when you were in town, right? Didn't you guys go to the City Museum?
I don't think so.
Okay. The City Museum is this museum in St. Louis that basically this guy took all of this weird architectural stuff in the city and saved it and threw it in one big building. So in one building, and then in one building you have a circus, you've got an aquarium, you've got the architectural facades of all these different buildings, you've got bank vaults, you've got opera posters, you've got slides, and it's got like this big giant jungle gym that you can climb from the floor all the way up to the roof. And then on the roof, they have this thing that looks like Thunderdome. They have a bus and an airplane, and you can walk around on all that. And then they've got a section of like taxidermy stuff. The only thing I could tell you is just go online and look up St. Louis City Museum. But I told Rox, I'm like, this is the one thing that's going to make your entire trip here happy. And we saved it till the last night. And she's like, oh, my God, get me out of here. This may be too much for me, you know.
Wow.
And she climbed all the way from the bottom floor to the roof on this little like playground bars and stuff. It's like rocks and a bunch of kids. And she got pretty bruised up doing it too. I felt bad, but she had a blast. And it's, I thought you'd went there, Widge. So I, yeah, but that was fun. I mean, it's, I don't even know how to describe it other than it's like if the Smithsonian blew up with like Pee Wee's Playhouse, it would be the City Museum. Because they have these like, all these old buildings, they saved all the architecture and they just basically put them up. So there's one whole room that's all gargoyles. They used to be on buildings in the city. Then there's like one room that's like, oh, these are all taxidermies. Then there's one room, I swear to God, it's this guy's doorknob collection of like colored doorknob handles and stuff. So you've got that. And then you just got all this crazy, it's just beyond crazy. And Janet and I, our basic rule was, we're going to take her to the City Museum. We're going to walk in. We'll let her go.
It honestly sounds like Disney Quest as envisioned by Burning Man.
Yes, kind of. It's kind of like if there was a Burning Man amusement park. That, you know, that would be it. So, but and then coming back from dinner, or on our way to dinner, this couple had a school bus, and it was in there. They had a kind of a nice big house, but they have a school bus in the driveway. So of course, you know, Janet and Rox pull over. And they find out that this couple bought a school bus, and they're basically turning the school bus into their own travel RV, right?
Right.
Which is kind of fascinating. They're going to put all the stuff in it, but except for the school bus, which Rox and I are like, why don't we have a bus? There should be like a neat coffee bus that just travels around the country and has wacky adventures. And we're like, no, it's probably a very bad idea. So, but yeah,
well, that could be our new reality TV show.
Yeah,
when I was very young, I lived at a school bus.
That'll be our hideously ill-conceived Partridge Family reboot.
Yeah,
but there was a lot of effort to clean up the guest room so that Rox had a place to stay. That took longer than the actual stay. Then she went to Kansas City. I think she's in Minnesota now. So,
you know what we should have done before she started this? We should have set up like a map, an interactive map, where it has like a little Rox, and then it, you know, every time she goes
like
somewhere,
the NORAD.
Like the
NORAD Santa tracker. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We should have done that. Damn it.
That's kind of frightening.
You have no idea.
Oh, I have some idea. Yeah.
No, you don't. Because you're not seeing the video of some of the things going on here. No, you don't.
Hold on. Yikes. Okay. But yeah, I mean, no, we had a pretty cool time, and she got to see a lot of the city, which was great. And yeah, all things considered, nothing was burned, trashed, or destroyed, and my wife is happy that no bail had to be posted. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Well, that was, you know, I told her, hey, Rox is going to stay for a couple days, and she's like, okay, I'm not bailing you out of jail. You know, so, not that we ever would get into trouble and do anything like that to begin with, but.
Not at all.
Lawyers have asked me to say.
Yeah. So.
Allegedly.
Oh yes, allegedly. Thank you. And she discovered gooey butter cake, which is like this sort of St. Louis thing.
What?
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, and then we took her to.
What exactly is gooey butter cake?
And unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
No.
Yeah. For you, Scott, he's willing and 18.
No! Wow.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Well, at least he was 18 in your example.
Yeah. It's. I have to send it to you. It's just basically a big, giant pastry with a shit ton of, like, sweetener in it. I mean, it's just. It's a cake that's got like a lot of butter with a lot of sugar, and it's powdery, and it's just
Wow.
It's like if lemon beignets, bars.
If beignets, no, lemon. if beignets were soft, it's kind of like a soft cream-filled beignet.
I'm reading on Wikipedia, which is always right. The recipe calls for a bottom layer of butter and yellow cake batter, and a top layer made from eggs, cream cheese, and in one case, almond extract.
Delicious.
It's dusted with confectioner's sugar before being served. Wow.
Yeah.
So, those are mom.
Give it to me.
What, yeah. My mom? Fuck you.
And we went to.
She would.
Hey, now. But yeah, we went to Strange Donuts too, so she got to experience that. And that's where she discovered it, because she had a gooey butter cake donut, which was pretty great.
Okay.
And I didn't get it because it just looked weird. They had a pulled pork donut.
Unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
Yeah, basically they take a donut, they cut it open, they fill it with barbecue, pulled pork, barbecue sauce, and they seal it. And then they cover the top with bacon.
Oh my. I don't think I needed to be that close to that sound.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's kind of like the Krispy Kreme bacon burger they had here at their restaurant.
Well, you know,
I think I'm coming pretty good.
Here. Yeah.
It's no longer a donut. That's a meat pie.
Yes, it is.
Ladies.
That's like full on
ladies.
God shit.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Now, could someone carry on this conversation with a French accent?
No.
Yeah, I love this. No. I was looking it up. I found an article about crazy donuts that opens with, the problem with grilled cheese sandwiches, chicken tacos, and pulled pork sandwiches is none of them are donuts.
I don't eat a donut. I don't care.
Well, fundamentally, that is true.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, for some of that, I don't know if the savory and sweet would go together with some of those things. Would they?
Yeah.
Well, anything you have barbecue sauce on, you've already got savory and sweet together.
Well, that may work, but I'm talking about like some other thing, like grilled cheese and a donut.
Yeah. Again, it depends on the cheese.
I think my favorite, though, is still chicken tikka masala inside a donut. Or the bulgogi chicken inside a donut. That's pretty fucking good, too.
Bulgogi chicken?
What?
Yeah. Korean barbecue chicken inside a donut.
Wow.
With kimchi.
Oh, my God. Really?
What does Kim have to do with this? Hold on.
Hey, don't call Tuffley's wife rotten cabbage.
We've been here for 5 hours. Rotten. You want to do introductions now?
No. Scott, I want to remind you, she is learning archery. That probably would.
What you mean
I
learning?
Have really pretty arrows with blue feathers on the ends.
I can draw that for you. You want to turn your camera on?
Kim, I finally saw the end of Orphan Black.
Oh.
Shush.
Okay.
I think you should not talk about it.
Okay. All right.
I'm getting a signal from somewhere saying maybe we shouldn't mention that right now.
Although
that's fine. John, you tell us when we can, and we will.
Well, we just started season one. We're on episode four.
Okay.
So that'll be a while.
It's okay. He doesn't get to the aliens for another 3 episodes.
Well, there are basically only 20 episodes up to this point. It's not that hard to catch up.
And she regenerates.
You could do it in a session after, say, Hawaii 5-0.
Exactly.
Is that in the
Kama Sutra? And if it helps, you can insert the theme into Orphan Black.
Oh, hey, I found a bowl that's been sitting in this room for who knows how long.
What's in the bowl?
I don't know what's in it now.
What's growing in the bowl?
Wait, it's been there so long that you can't even tell what's in it?
Okay, it's sitting in plain sight too. Several meanings.
And I'm not one to leave bowls laying around, and it's been sitting in plain sight essentially for who knows how long.
Oh, I think you need to have a chat with one of the children.
No, it looks like it was me. It was on top of the beer fridge. Oh, now it all makes sense.
Beer cereal.
John, Nina Simone, I want a little sugar in my bowl. Go. Sorry.
Pour some sugar on me?
Oh, God.
Ew. They're on tour right now with Kiss. I cannot think of a worse waste of an afternoon.
Oh, speaking of heavy metal. Great segue. Speaking of heavy metal. One of the other things.
Heavy metal.
That's not.
Okay. Whatever.
Any song by Bowling for Soup. Go.
Anyway, one of the things we did for this last Mickey Mouse was someone wrote a death metal song called Heterosexual Extinction.
Your mother wrote a song called what?
No. Someone wrote a song for the last Mickey Faust show called Heterosexual Extinction, and it's like the stereotypical black metal. Never mind.
Your mom's Scott. A heterosexual.
Scott, will that song be featured in the Thatcher musical?
Considering Thatcher, no.
So Scott, you know what we should do for Dragon Con?
What?
You should do a one-man cabaret called Scott C. and the Angry Inch.
Ha! Fuck you!
I really do need 27 awesome. Inches.
It'd be awesome.
Wow.
No, fuck you.
That's not right.
Yeah, it isn't.
Oh, come
technically,
on.
Doesn't Scott get three votes now because there are two other people in his cube?
It's cute.
It'd be great.
Oh my God. I don't think it'll be great. What do you think?
Hey, all I know is that Hedwig lap danced Sting. Okay, that's all I know.
The owl?
Yes, Kim, the owl.
Yes, the owl Hedwig lap danced the wrestler Sting.
Oh my God.
Actually, is this before or after the boot period? Because then it could apply to all Sting.
Well, we've killed the podcast again.
That was the take a picture moment.
Maybe we'll get Scott seeing the Angry Inch t-shirts made.
No. You are not putting out there just an inch.
Ladies. I really do need 27 inches.
Damn right. And I have it all here, baby.
Really?
We've been here for 5 hours. With, you want to do introductions now?
We're on a podcast with our sorry asses instead of out on the town.
Who goes out? Would you want him to do that during the podcast?
Hey,
that's right. There's a curfew.
What?
Hey.
Nothing.
I'm confused.
I don't blame you.
I am too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a curfew, you know.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Wrong.
I agree, Robo-Man.
Wrong.
Hey, the problem is, Rob, I was just looking up on Wikipedia, which is always right. The reason Aaron is confused is because over there, the musical was known as Hedwig and the Angry 2.54 centimeters.
I thought it was known as Velvet Goldmine.
Oh, well played.
I like that movie.
There's a shock. Sorry. So, Kim, they're putting in an IKEA here.
Yeah.
And while they're digging, they found. See, St. Louis had a big cholera epidemic, so they just threw all the bodies in pits, right?
So they that's found where the IKEA is going?
They found a cholera.
That's where they're getting their Swedish meatballs from.
They're excavating all this ground to put in the IKEA, and they found a cholera pit with like bodies.
Oh, wow.
So this is where we're starting the zombie apocalypse?
No, ironically, they found it the night before Rocks came. So it was in the
moment. Of course.
That's how you knew she was coming. It was a sign.
So she had an alibi, is what you're saying.
Probably.
Nice.
Yeah, she pedaled her back really fast and went back to 1872. Yeah.
See, Rob, I was going to ask.
I didn't think she ever left 1872.
We're going to stick that in.
Wait, so instead of the time treadmill, she has a time bicycle?
Yes.
Time bicycle. I want to ride my
bike. Oh, she got a light cycle from Tron. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Hey, what the heck's going on over here?
That is the $20 million question.
Now, all we need is for John's son to show up and go, Red Rob, Red Rob.
No, that'll be after the podcast when he goes out and sees his children in the hallway.
Red Rob.
Come play with us, John.
Hold on, let me get the all the blood gushing out of the door. Hold on.
You're the engineer, John. You've always been the engineer.
It's what we call the Underlook Hotel.
The Overlooked Hotel.
That too.
Mm-hmm.
So
way too much fun. Yeah, this is so much better than Skype. We have way too much fun.
Introductions. Introductions.
Introductions. Oh, okay. I want to hear my introductions.
I want to hear my intro.
This doesn't really work that well, isn't it?
I'm sorry. I read the wrong stage directions.
Yeah, just wait till they get the fat bottom girls.
Hey, they make the rock and roll go round.
Jesus.
And you thought it was gravity.
So when did this podcast become like the Carry On for bad music?
But it wasn't.
Wait, we're
what episode are we on?
When did it stop?
No, hang on. I don't think the TSA will let you on a plane with that.
Well, Witch, what you can do is in Georgia, you can leave it open up until you get to security.
Is that what your fly?
Yes.
Okay.
I've done that.
That was.
I mean, there are
not the mission I was going for with that line, but okay.
Yes, Scott is the guy who goes and says, "Backscatter me, please."
Yeah, check this out. Yeah, offensive.
No,
right,
seriously.
Here. Yeah.
No, seriously, can I take the x-ray? I'll take the x-ray. I'll sign it when I'm done.
That's true. If Scott was working for the TSA and he was the guy who did the rope check, then I think that we could save a lot of time in lines.
I'll sign it and give you my phone number. No, sir, you can go ahead.
Sir, what is – so am I to understand you wrapped your dick in tinfoil before you got in the machine, okay?
Oh, we're going to have to pull you aside.
Don't put metal in the science oven.
It'll be the strange report of TSA. Why is Margaret Thatcher working for TSA?
Well, children, stop watching Spinal Tap. It doesn't work now either.
Here's John.
That'd be awesome.
It's frightening.
One day he could be that. Introduction. One day he could dress up like Divine. One day he could be, I don't know, Soupy Sales.
Soupy Sales.
From Divine to Soupy Sales, okay?
The fuck?
That's somewhat terrifying.
How would you
Although
get
I still think
with all those pies?
No, he'd be security. He could just dress up like Greg Giambi and be security. And when they come through TSA, that'd be great.
What the fuck are you on?
Nothing. That's the sad thing.
Yeah, it is.
Well.
Look, I had to be on my best behavior for 4 days. It's all coming out. Plus, you know, sorry.
Wait, you had to be on your best behavior for rocks?
Yeah, we both decided not to, you know, drive my wife nuts. You know.
Didn't your wife create like a set of rules?
A few, but they're fine. It was great. The basic rules were, you know, don't spray paint anything in public. Don't break into anything. I'm not bailing you out. You know, just stuff that you would expect based on listening to the podcast. Just, yeah, you know.
Wait, she listens to the podcast?
Yeah.
We're so very sorry.
Scott, here's the best part. So does my mom.
Okay.
Hey, baby, what's happening? Do you like guys with accents?
But,
She won't listen to this one. You be nice.
So your mom.
Wait, no. I want to know, what do they think of this?
Right now, for the listeners, Scott has his penis out.
Again.
And Scott wants to ask Janet and your mom what they called their significant other before they got engaged.
Well, see, if it gets really foul, then my mom turns it off. She can handle the cussing, but if the subject matter goes really black,
so like,
then she could.
Whoa! Why you gotta get
all racist?
Why'd it have to be black?
Why couldn't it be red or yellow?
Hey!
Whoa!
Hey! We don't want to lose the Chinese market. Again. Be careful.
So basically, she listens for about 5 minutes and goes, "What the?" I turned it off.
Well, I fast forwarded through her, you know, for her so she can hear some of it. And,
well, it's, you know,
she's like that nice man that runs it, who has the kids. Why doesn't he throw you over a cliff? And I said, I don't know.
Which has kids?
You know, we've been confused with This American Life before, so it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not a problem.
And then you stop in the wrong spot, and we talk about death farts, and then you never know.
The
background of this is my mom always wants me to, like, you know, send her stuff I've written, or sometimes she'll listen to my radio show for like 10 minutes, and then she's like, okay, I got to stop because I don't understand anything you're playing. And sometimes she's like, well, what does your podcast sound like? And so I played it for her a couple times, and it was one of the ones that was actually – I think coherent, because Lee and Kim were talking about something, and
Lee was coherent.
Well, she wasn't drunk or asleep.
She was awake.
Yeah.
It was while Shield was airing.
Well, no, my mom compared it to when she used to listen to vaudeville. She goes, "Oh, it's like vaudeville." And I said, "Yes."
Wow.
With cursing.
That's the nice thing.
Very kind of your mom.
Just like
with cursing.
So when I'm on, is it like burlesque?
No.
We're making almost exactly the same amount of money most of the people on vaudeville did too.
The great thing is the short term memory's going, so she'll forget most of it, the stuff that's really gonna piss her off. So that's great.
I don't think it is.
In case you've forgotten, I'm that guy with an accent. How you doing?
Yeah, you're that guy from Sweden that's on our panel all the time. Or that German guy.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Hey,
nice soccer game.
Both sexy countries.
Yeah,
you're from the general metro European area.
Yeah, Aaron's like, sexual. If Aaron thinks it's going to get him into bed, he's like, jawohl.
So...
My Fiona.
Congratulations for your win this evening.
If Scott's still playing with his thing, then he can cosplay as George Michael at Dragon Con and just do nothing but walk into bathrooms.
Chirp, chirp.
It's the pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, so we should take that pause and probably do introductions.
No!
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
We're actually going to do them?
Oh, yeah, why not?
Okay.
Yep. So we'll do it.
Let's just go crazy. Do them.
Yeah, we're going to do introductions, and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
welcome to another edition of Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice Podcast here on NeedCoffee.com, the number one audio and sometimes video internet train wreck. But the video you can't see. We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Rob is with us. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
Hello. Aaron is with us, too. Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
Oh, you're back.
What?
I never
And
left.
My front.
No, I couldn't hear anybody for a minute, but now I can hear you again.
And that's Kim, everyone.
Hi.
JJ.
I just noticed that somebody drew Hawkeye's mask over the image of my husband. Are you trying
you're
to suck
welcome.
Up to me?
Or turn you on, one or the other.
Yeah. I'm just trying to grease the reel, if you know what I mean.
Hey, Tuffley, why are you limping more than usual?
No, we can't see where she is in the video.
Well, they did have a three-day weekend, so.
Careful of trick arrows.
More than enough time to build a desk.
Because boomerangs.
Because boomerangs.
We also have JJ with us. Hello, JJ.
I'm a Viking.
Of course
who,
you are.
Who drew sunglasses on him, by the way? Because I'm extremely disappointed with you messing
That's
with
like...
my teeth.
Yeah, they messed. They changed me from a Viking to Elton John, as I said earlier. But
that's a hell of a transition.
Like Elton John wouldn't take a Viking if he could.
Wow,
I would.
He has at least once.
Take, receive, all the same.
We also have Tuffley's here. Hello, Tuffley.
Oh, didn't I already say? Oh, hello. Hi.
No, you've spoken, but I haven't said hi.
Oh, okay. Well, hi.
Rob, are you okay?
Yes.
Are you broken down on the side of the road again?
No.
Okay, just checking.
I'm sorting records. Sorry.
Did you have more than one key hanging off your Chevrolet vehicle?
No.
Okay.
I got a box of record store day records today, and I'm sorting them.
Ah. We also have Scott C. is with us. Hello, Scott.
These gonzo eyes are staring into my soul.
Chirp,
no, they're
chirp,
not.
Chirp, chirp.
That's not where they're staring, Scott.
What the hell is that?
Well, either that or he's making coffee. I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, it sounds like a... It sounds like a drip coffee maker.
That's gross.
Scott!
Okay, Alice Cooper.
You know what Scott's orgasm sounded like. Now you know.
Well, that's more gross.
Well,
that's what Scott ever said. Now you know.
You know, technically, since Scott has props right now, he could either be Alice Cooper or
Richard Simmons.
I'm just wondering, was that an orgasm or was it just an old man with emphysema?
Well,
that's Rob's phone.
What is that noise? Is it,
sorry.
Rob, is someone there with an iron lung behind you?
No, I'm just moving around. Never mind, I got records and I'm moving them. It's bad.
Now, are you playing a record of someone in an iron lung?
No, I'm bagging them.
You stole that from that city museum, didn't you?
No, I did not.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Sitting on the podcast.
Did you finish introductions?
No.
There.
Then we have John for the Neat Geek. Hi, John. I fucking hate your guts. Oh, good. So that's done.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can go now, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm sorry, did you say you can gonad? What?
Well, I can always gonad.
What?
Gonaddy.com.
GoDaddy.com.
Oh, please let that be a weird website. Hold on.
Is that?
Or you're registering a domain right now.
Yep.
Can you register GoDaddy.com? No. No, GoDaddy is taken but not being used. So someone owns it.
How's that feel, JJ? Tell us how that feels.
But being taken but not used?
It's very frustrating.
I know your pain.
Wow. Okay. And that was Therapy Moment with your host, John.
You know, that would be frightening. If we all had therapy and John was our therapist, that would actually be really frightening.
He doesn't want to hear my bullshit.
That's what the podcast is for. It's group therapy.
Yeah.
So, hey, Kim, I wanted
to share.
What?
Guess what?
Kim, I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on the Neil Gaiman Wayward Manor game?
I don't have any thoughts on that, because I actually haven't heard about that.
Oh, really?
Oh, is that the Kickstarter thing?
Is it a Kickstarter? I don't know.
It was one of them. It's a patron or a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was a patron.
Yeah.
However, I will say, fuck that guy making potato salad on Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
I think we have hit peak Kickstarter.
Well, in fairness, I don't blame him. I blame the people backing in. Because, like, he probably just thought, this is funny. I'll put on a Kickstarter potato salad for $10. This is a funny joke. And, like, it's not his fault that, like, too many fucking idiots, like, funded it. Like, really.
The problem is, though, that, yeah, he probably just thought it was a stupid idea. But it's funded enough now that it's kind of, I don't know, it feels like it's the beginning of the end for being able to do anything serious off a site that funded, last I checked, $20,000 to make a bowl of fucking potato salad.
Yeah.
You kind of wonder, like...
But you'd feel bad if you don't get your project funded, right?
Maybe, like, when he realized people were actually giving him money, he should have been like, okay, I need to stop this. This is sad.
Well... these people could easily have given that money to a charity or done something nice with it for other people.
Or kickstarted an actual project.
Or perhaps bought something on Amazon from needcoffee.com. I don't know.
Let's just say I know a lot of people, or specifically a few people, that could make that $20,000 go a long way.
Yes, thank you.
Like me, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
You'd be on the first boat to Bangkok, wouldn't you?
It's going to be a race between that guy and the guy who's suing ESPN for being mocked.
Yeah.
Has anybody heard this?
No.
Yeah, I did. It was awesome.
Basically, a guy fell asleep in the stadium during an ESPN Sunday Night Baseball telecast, and the commentators kept going back to him and talking about him for the entire game.
So he was in the studio, or
no? He was in the stadium.
Okay, so what part of if they're filming, isn't don't you basically like sign something saying that you're going to be on camera?
You could be on camera. You could get hit by baseballs or guys throwing bats. Yeah, lots of things.
And this is not a regular thing. I mean, sometimes they'll cut the pictures of kids like just bothering their parents or something, or they'll go to somebody that's like constantly like jumping up and down or just weird. They always pick on weird little things in the fans are doing at the game to sort of be a conversation starter when there's a lull in the game. And with this guy, it's like, wow, he's really out, somebody wake him up. And they kept coming back sort of like, hey, let's see if he's woken up yet, kind of like Lee at the
every
Lee
podcast. Oh
yeah. So
can Lee sue us?
No.
Okay.
Get that money. No. She should sue the potato salad guy.
She should thank us for making her famous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say the only people who were more famous while asleep was probably Snow White and Sleeping Beauty. So you got them and then Lee.
Are we the Seven Dwarfs?
What about Disney? Is Disney technically asleep?
No. Disney's just technically frozen. And by that, okay. I mean the movie.
Hey, Wig.
Hey, Aaron.
Tim Burton's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, go.
Well, you've got to have... okay, I would have Johnny Depp as the witch.
Okay.
Why not?
Like a CG witch.
No. It's just in drag as the witch. Because it's Johnny Depp and Tim Burton, so it doesn't actually have to make sense. Correct. I would cast What's-Her-Face, who played Alice in Wonderland, as Snow White.
Is that Anna with a Polish name?
Yeah, Anna Kursofinowicz.
Leah Wachowski or whatever.
All Seven Dwarves would be played by Roy. Was it Deep Roy?
Deep Roy, yes.
Deep Roy and Peter Dinklage.
All of them. Okay.
Oh, can I say, just on a quick sidebar about Peter Dinklage, I am now... Someone said Deep Roy and Peter Dinklage. I did not go from Deep Roy to Peter Dinklage on my own.
That's right.
Sure. I did not pull that out of my ass.
Sure you did.
No, but Deep Roy did.
Speaking of little people,
No! Someone said...
So what's up with Billy Barty these days?
Oh, too soon.
The plane bus.
Too soon. Okay, now Hervé, no, but Billy Barty, no. Too soon. Anyway, no, I'm 8 episodes into the 4th season of Game of Thrones, and Peter Dinklage is a god.
I have watched 2 episodes of Game of Thrones.
Well, JJ, you may not realize this yet, but Peter Dinklage is going to win all the awards.
Well, I've already seen him in the 2nd episode. He slaps Joffrey about 8 times.
Ah, yes. Good times.
So he's already badass.
Yeah. So, no, the...
Peter Dinklage.
Game of Dinklage.
Yeah, they'll have like an MMA match where he takes on Warwick Davis. That'd be awesome.
Ooh. Warwick is an old Davis man.
He was pretty hot on Doctor Who, though. I've got to say, he was looking pretty foxy.
Okay.
Wow. It's true.
Okay.
So Tuffley wasn't building a desk. He was basically building Warwick Davis a roof, is what you're saying.
Well, Tuffley wants to climb out of a chest playing automaton and see if it works.
Oh, God.
By the way, Aaron, since you're here, I can get full offense on this because I was only able to take, genetic offense. But so I work with a guy today who said he loves the Irish people. And when asked why he loves Irish people, he said because the movie Leprechaun made him laugh.
Oh, wow. Oh, shit.
Wow.
As he says that, the house in the background is burning.
He wanted to move to Boston to be around Irish people because Leprechaun was awesome.
Wow. Is this – now, hold on. Did you meet this guy, like, in a special education class?
I work with him.
Okay.
Does he wear a helmet to work, JJ?
He's an American.
He is not an American. Actually, he's a Belizean.
Oh, a Belizean? Well, then. I don't even Belize exists. Thank you. That's unbelievable.
I think it would only been worse if he said his favorite Disney movie was Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Do you know how many portals to hell you've opened by mentioning EMF?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The things you say in an accent, they're unbelievable.
I did have a connection to a better album at work a couple weeks ago. I transported a bunch of really expensive art, and one of the pictures was the cover to Sonic Youth's Dirty?
Goo. Oh, was it Goo or Dirty?
The finger puppet.
Oh, nice.
Apparently the set of those paintings was worth $3.5 million.
And wait a minute. Wow.
Yeah.
So next time that happens, you send one to Tuffley. And one to me.
Believe me, if I could have figured out, I had to drive them a couple hours away, and if I could have figured out a way to be hijacked, I would have.
You have Rox's number, don't you?
Yeah, you know where they are. Hold on, you know where they are now, right? When Rox comes to Portland, right, just have her water. Just have her Watergate them. Mm.
No, not that. Watergate failed, so pick something else.
Does that mean pee on them?
Yes.
Okay.
Because urine makes the paintings worth more money. That's the failed song from Mary Poppins. Urine makes the paintings worth more money.
Yeah, just mine. Ask Mapplethorpe.
Oh, I was waiting for that joke.
Piss Christ.
It was just there. I mean, come on.
Wow.
We were all letting it hang in the...
It was just there and lying in queue for the
back.
Yeah,
let it hang there, yeah.
Hey, Wiggs, did you see the Paul McCartney thing about the wedding?
No. What is this?
Paul McCartney is playing a show, right? And this woman holds up a sign saying, he won't, like, I won't marry him until I meet you, right?
Okay.
And then the husband, the guy holds up a thing and says, I have the ring.
Okay.
So McCartney stops the show and makes them come down to the stage and shakes her hand, takes a picture, somehow there's a picture thing, and goes back on and does the rest of his show.
Okay.
And this couple got engaged to the McCartney show that way.
That's unbelievable.
Oh.
So why did we not think of this?
Is John still on the line?
No, otherwise we'd have Jim playing by now, I'm sure.
I know. Damn it. I was holding on to it. I didn't want to, like,
thank
cue him up if he wasn't
God.
There.
Damn.
Well, you know, we should do that one of these days. I mean, we brought several couples together.
We've also torn them apart.
You could never tear us apart.
Oh,
God.
Weekend Justice, Weekend Justice will tear us apart.
The password is asphyxiation.
So.
Tuffle, you know what's great about EMF?
They're over.
Nothing.
I was going to say.
I love the fact that when EMF were on Club MTV, they couldn't figure out how to lip sync their song.
To be fair, neither could Millie Vanilli, so it's fine.
Blame it all the way.
So.
Stuff.
Skirt shot.
Things.
Yes. So, what else was I going to ask you? Oh, so Rob, you said you had moved your entire record collection into your mom's basement?
Most of it, yes.
So what? So did you find any forgotten gems in – how many records do you have, by the way?
At this point, because I've weeded it down and a lot of it I've transferred over to CD, so maybe about 9 or 10 crates.
And these are crates like those pods that they bring you and leave outside your apartment for you to fill up. And
they stack. So you've got like, so we've got 9 rows. There's nine rows of stacked crates.
Okay.
Well, how many albums go into one crate? Do you know?
Do I look like Neil deGrasse Tyson here? No, I don't know.
That was in episode 10 of the New Cosmos.
Yeah. I would venture to say, you know, I don't have a ton, but it's mostly just stuff that I liked but I didn't want to part with. So it's been weeded through pretty well. I don't know, a couple thousand probably.
Oh, is that did you happen to sell the rest of your records to somebody in New Zealand who built a massive library recently?
No, but I want that. I want that library. That's what I want.
Kim.com?
No. Although, Widge, I do have to talk to you later about storage for digital stuff because I'm running out of space.
Okay.
I've got some options. But, yeah, no, it's basically my mom in her senior apartment complex where they live, they have storage areas. And it's air-conditioned. And I'm like, okay. And my mom basically has her Christmas stuff. And I was telling her, you know, I have a friend coming over, got to dig out all this crap. And she's like,
cancel Christmas, Mom!
No, I left it there, but I took a bunch of it over there. And it's good because then I can weed through it sort of without the attachment of being at home. I'm basically in a room where there's nobody, and I can just go look at it and go, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, boom, get rid of this, you know.
But you have to have the shitty records, otherwise what are you going to do when the zombie apocalypse happens?
Well, that's what the Ethel Merman disco record is for. And I did. There's
Bill Oddie's greatest hits.
Yeah, there's the I've got two or three records of Jerry Falwell speeches.
What?
Yeah, Liberty College put all of Jerry Falwell's early sermons onto vinyl, and they gave them when you joined. So, if I find those, you know. I
think this is the story. How the hell did what?
You just go to a record store and you just look under records. I mean, you can go to a record store and find crazy records. I mean, I've got the Electric Company record from the Electric Company, the original one.
I thought it's got the booklet
in it. I did not know, Widge, that I do have Sgt. Pepper's with the little figure guys. I didn't know I had that.
Well, that's cool.
Really? Nice.
I was like, oh yeah, I do have this, and so that was cool. And I do have the white vinyl pressing that the Revolting Cox did of Do You Think I'm of Physical by Olivia Newton-John, where they pressed it onto vinyl. They were going to release it, and they got a cease and desist order, and they were supposed to destroy them all. So I've got one of those, and then I've got a couple copies of the KLF 1987 album, which was supposed to be destroyed, and just odd.
See, that is unbelievable.
Oh!
I have the. I think I posted a picture of it on Facebook, but I have the Alan Hale Jr. like party album. And surprisingly, what I do have that is good is a couple of the Robert Mitchum Calypso records. Those are great. Like Robert Mitchum made a couple Calypso albums, and they're really good. So.
Proof that if you look at a record store and go past the 7 copies of Bat Out of Hell, there's good stuff there.
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of soundtrack stuff too. So I tried to keep all the burdens, like all the Elfman soundtrack stuff. I tried to get that, and got a whole bunch of Blue Note jazz stuff I forgot I had, which was nice.
Nice.
So yeah. And a couple old. Actually, you know what? I forgot though. I do have a couple of stacks things that I forgot I had.
I did not. A Blue Note turned 75 this year.
Yeah, I was good. Yeah, and they're gonna do something for that at some point, which is I think gonna be awesome as well. But no, there's just all kinds of just crazy. Weird records, and all I can tell you to do is just go out and find them. You know, I've got like the Captain Kangaroo album. I got one of those.
I think you should do a remix on the soundtrack stuff.
I got the soundtrack for somehow. I have the soundtrack for DC Cab. I got the Mr. T album. I got the $6 Million Man Christmas album.
Awesome.
He doesn't actually sing on it though, but the guy on it does a really terrible like Lee Majors voice. Because it was December 24th, and Colonel Steve Austin suddenly remembers he hasn't bought a single present. And you hear this guy goes, "Oh no, I realized I haven't bought a single present." You know those really cheesy old play school records. So
wait a minute. So the guy who sang the Unknown Stuntman doesn't appear on his own album.
No, it's not. It's a story. It's a story album. It's not a singing album. Okay,
gotcha.
It's like one of those story records. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like the old Spider-Man records.
Yeah, I've got the. Oh, you know what I do have is the 12-inch single for the theme from SWAT, but they only pressed it on one side of the vinyl, so one side is just the theme from SWAT, and the other side's blank.
Well, do you have one though that you could just consider like you know if there was one that you just had to go, this is my greatest find. Because I know my favorite is the my John Wayne Americana album.
Oh, that is supposed to be great.
It is great.
What is he reading? Is he doing spoken word or something? What?
Yeah, he's
chewing loudly for about 30 minutes.
Well, there is an album called An Evening with Vic Tayback. It's pretty great, where it's like Vic Tayback singing like famous show tunes.
Wow.
The Alan Hale Jr. record is great. It's just odd and strange. I gotta say though, the Ethel Merman disco album or the Liberace disco album are probably both up there.
Yeah.
And there's a and the other thing that's really frightening was the JJ, you remember they used to make picture discs.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Some of those are just ghastly and frightening.
God, I'm trying to think of what I've got that's vinyl that's crazy.
I used to have a picture disc of Empire, Queensryche's Empire, that was cut to with the for the Queensryche symbol, but it broke.
Nice. Wow. I didn't realize I had the 12-inch for the Motel Suddenly last summer. I didn't know I had that.
Wow.
I don't even remember getting it.
Did you make records of what you have now?
No, what? I just remember.
Records,
I was in there.
Records? That's way too meta, Scott.
No, I was in there. I was in there like 3 days ago, Scott, and I just remember the things that give me nightmares.
Is it pronounced meta?
No, it's meta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard it both.
Tell my.
But it's good. I mean, it's good because I did need to sort of just go through stuff because I was just piling crap upon crap, and the next thing I'm going through is ticket stubs. I'm gonna organize all my ticket stubs.
So are you going to plug them into AMC Stubs, or are you just going to keep
them? No, because, you know, they won't care.
No, that is the strangest social media idea I've ever heard. Log your ticket stub in here so you can remember who you saw this film with. It's like,
no.
What? Why? What?
Although, it would be fun to take my ticket stub for, like, the Nana Eurythmics show I saw and say, can I get points for these and see what happens? Here's my ticket stub for Men Without Hats. Can I get points for this? Really?
But it depends on what kind of points.
It depends on what kind of hats.
Yeah.
No good points.
That's true.
There were no hats, remember?
Because you can only hats. Dance if you want to.
I don't want to put my ticket stubs out there because I don't want anybody to know how much I sing.
Oh,
JJ, I'm not even worried about JJ Sink Dad stuff because one, you're bigger than me, and two, I imagine it's probably not all that terrible.
Oh no, I said Winger.
You saw Winger?
I've seen Winger a few times.
Yeah.
Okay. They always open for a band that I want to see.
That's
no, dude, it's all good.
So that's okay. Your excuse.
It was Kiss, wasn't it?
They did open for Kiss. Yes, they did.
Yeah.
I have a friend of. Yeah.
And they this was Kiss open. Without makeup, correct?
Yeah, this was Crazy Nights Tour, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, definitely the fact that you know this frightens me.
Okay, you know this. Tuffley has a deep dark metal past.
There aren't that many bands.
This is why Kim has Sims.
There aren't that many bands. Yeah. There aren't that many
oh,
bands
I told
that
you what
Hems,
happened
though.
To the Sims.
You're right. Well, the thing is with the South though, at least in Jackson, we got all the hair bands. So I pretty much.
Oh yeah, you got all the hair bands because yeah.
So I mean, that's part of why I saw Winger so much because I mean I also saw.
Huntsville, and I don't know if you remember this, which Huntsville would get this weird combination of Kiss, and then a couple of hair metal bands, and then like Christian bands, or like
Striper.
Yeah, there was that one time that they tried to block Two-Live Crew from playing there, but that was about it.
Yeah, I saw Opus play with Europe once.
I'm sorry.
The thing that I thank Striper for, though, is Striper had the worst band that I ever saw live open for them. I only went to see them because my parents had an argument and they wanted me to get out of the house for makeup sex.
Wow. Okay.
And so, yeah, they bought me a ticket.
Wow, thanks, Striper.
Yeah, so they got me a ticket to see Striper to get me out of the house. And a band opened for them called Jet Boy.
Oh! Yikes.
They were the worst.
Okay, for those of us who aren't music nerds, what is Jet Boy?
Why don't you Google Jet Boy?
They're a shit band.
Why do I have to? You're here.
I just told you they're a shit band. Their hit song was Feel the Shit.
Scott.
Feel the Shit. Girl, grab your tits.
You know, I saw.
And Eric, every hair metal band from the 80s. Hold on. Thank you.
I don't know why this is going to segue into this, but I saw Dee Snider do a panel on music censorship at CMJ one year with Diamanda Galas and Ice-T and Chuck D, and it was really weird.
Yeah.
Because for a while, he hosted a radio show where he played music, so he was playing a lot of this like really underground metal stuff, and he had to fight a lot of battles with that, but yeah. I can't think of the worst metal band that I ever saw because I never really had the metal phase, you know? I was kind of like 30 before I heard Hendrix, so, or, you know, Motley Crue, so, yeah.
Hendrix and Motley Crue, that's the band.
They're not metal, but I'm just using them as, never mind. I did have a ticket to, the Geffen rep did give me a ticket to see Guns N' Roses, and I knew somebody that really wanted to go, so I gave them the tickets, and that was the Riot show, and I wish I went.
Oh.
But, oh well.
Give me some reggae!
Oh, dear.
Wow.
So, all I could say, JJ, is it could be worse. You could have seen Gorky Park.
That's true. I never did see Gorky Park.
Yeah.
Although I did have an album they played on. They were on the Sex Pistols tribute album.
Oh, my God, they were. Yeah, I think they were.
No, excuse me. It wasn't the Sex Pistols tribute album. No, it was. What was it
called?
They
did a Sex Pistols cover, didn't they?
They didn't do it. They actually, now that I'm thinking of it, they did a Who cover. It was a tribute album that every band who was covered had a member who died of a drug overdose.
Okay, then what's the metal band that did a cover of Anarchy in the UK that I'm thinking of? Because I can't think of who it is.
Did one.
Did you know?
Considered on their greatest hits album.
Did you?
Megadeth did one that was a hit.
Had three songs on the Burb soundtrack.
What?
I'm reading the Wikipedia entry, which is always right, and three of their songs were in the Burb soundtrack.
Who? What band?
Jet Boy.
Okay.
Yes, Scott, they were that good to get on online, that soundtrack.
When we try to look them up online, we don't really mean you need to look them up online.
Well, you didn't say.
I shouldn't have to. It's in the manual.
What manual? No one told me about a manual.
All you have to do is look at
it's the Need Coffee. It's the Need Coffee, Robin Tuffley's Guide to Music, or You Suck.
Oh, we didn't write that.
Yeah.
All you have to do.
No, we just bought the domain. We never actually put anything on it.
Yeah.
But as soon as you see the lead singer,
AKA Go Natty.
actually, if you type that in now, it does redirect to Go Natty, so it's fine. And strangely, a picture of Danica Patrick, but I don't know why.
I don't know why. Although it is weird, JJ, that like that stuff that's so cheesy that you hear it now, people do still like listen to it. It's kind of weird, you know. Like I stopped using the Final Countdown as my close out the bar song because people stayed.
I know people now that legitimately like it.
Oh, what I was know. Kim, what was that show we were listening to over the weekend? What was it?
Hawaii 5-0.
No. The show in the car where you're talking about cock rock.
I don't know. It was something on the satellite radio.
Yeah. It was some sort of 4th of July thing, and we were clicking past channels, and I think Night Ranger was guest DJing.
They were saying, like, Oh, here's our evidence that you can still rock in America. And I'm like,
Yeah,
because your freedom to enjoy cock rock is so endangered.
I think Rob, the next time you get a request for Final Countdown, you should play some of the score from the film.
Or I'll play the Leibach version.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, no, usually you just play something cheesy to get people out, you know, so.
Oh, see, what you have to do is play the other song by Europe.
Superstitious?
Why do you know that?
Superstitious.
JJ, I find that both commendable and frightening at the same time. You've earned my fear and my respect in one swoop.
Either that or you have to switch to White Lion.
Oh wow. Okay, now you've gone too far.
You have to throw a weight on there.
Wait. Let me chase the lab. I only want to say.
Which reminds me, hey, Tuffy?
Are you auto-tune or are you just having a problem with your audio?
Ladies and gentlemen, T-Pain brings you.
Oh, God. T-Pain hey, covers Tuffy? Your favorite.
Metal's greatest hits performed by T-Pain.
Wow.
Deadly frightening.
It's just he went all robo when he was singing and it was like, okay, he could be going robo or he could have engaged some sort of auto-tune thing.
Sorry, Rob, you were going to ask me something?
Well, this is something I thought I'd never actually ask you, but did you hear the Molly Cyrus Flaming Lips song yet?
I haven't, and I heard that's making the rounds, and I'm kind of curious, but then I don't want to hear it. But then again, my excuse to this is, hey, they did a song with Kesha, so you can't – once you've passed that threshold, you really can't go anywhere else. And, honey, I know you kind of like Kesha.
And they got matching tattoos, which is also frightening.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this supposed to be – now, I haven't heard it yet. Is this actually one of the Christmas songs? Are they doing another Christmas record, or is that what this is?
They're not saying what it's for, but it's making the rounds. It doesn't really sound Christmassy, but it's
Is it the whole Christmas on Mars thing a couple of years back?
I think it's something like that, but they're not really saying – I mean, it's just – you know, it's not something you really want to do is call up your best friend and say, hey, did you hear the new Molly Cyrus Flaming Lips record? Because one, they'll either – one, they'll have you committed.
You want to do it on a three-hour podcast.
Yeah. No,
and of course, they'll ask you, why is Molly Cyrus's herpes stinging?
Well, for example, Scott, I would call up Tuffley and say that, and then Kim would be mad because, one, she either had to hear it, or two, Tuffley's seeking it out and not spending any time with it. So – you know,
it'd probably be one of those things where you have to get two CDs and you have to sync them up to listen to it. Which
let me know after you hear it. I don't. I can't even. Okay. I should not even physically describe how weird it is. I just like
to point out in the music you don't need to know about department, the front man of White Lion, Mike Tramp, apparently released an acoustic folk style rock album last year. And it charted on Denmark's official top 40 at number 21.
Is he still ripping off Boston?
I have no idea.
Okay.
See, I've always thought that he sounded just like the guy from Diamond Head, but that's just me.
God.
Well done. Well done, JJ.
If you listen to a song like Sucking My Love, it sounds like a much cooler White Lion song.
If they ever were to bring back Headbangers Ball, JJ, you'd be my guy.
Thank you.
He's got the hair for it.
I think JJ and Tuffley should have their own music spinoff podcast called Recovering Metalholics.
No, just call it Recovery or Detox, because that will be the only detox that will ever get released.
Well, and the thing is, as soon as Anthrax puts out another album, I'm going to go into a full backslide anyway.
We saw when I was at the EMP in Seattle, Anthrax was walking through there. They got a VIP tour of the whole place. And those guys are actually pretty nice because they just walked by and said, hey, what's up? I go, hey, what's up? And like literally everyone they saw, they said hi to and stuff. I mean, no attitude whatsoever.
I've been an Anthrax fan since as long as I can remember. And yeah, I've met them once and they were all, yeah, ridiculously nice, especially the bass player.
Well, you know, Anthrax, the main thing I know about Anthrax that made them okay in my book was NFB. Any band that can do NFB is sold with me for life. Joey, Joey, get me some tissue. All right, so we should meander towards recommendations since we've got 15,000
of them. Hooray! Recommendations time.
Yay!
Hey, when we do recommendations, can he play the theme from like the Final Countdown all the time now when we do?
Oh God!
Or that could be the new version of Rock Lobsters. You just have Scott say, you know, the Final Countdown.
Wait for it.
John
must not be there.
Okay. Wow. Survived. Okay. Well,
all right.
Rock Lobster.
For the.
That's awesome. Hey, shop too.
Hey, Tuffley.
Yeah.
The other lesson we've learned is don't leave your Doctor Who scripts on your server.
Okay, you know, I forgot. I wanted to ask about that. Do you think that was?
No, I don't have them.
No, I wasn't gonna ask that. Now that I knew you deny it. But what I was gonna ask is, do you think it was a legitimate mistake, or you think they're trying to drum up some publicity?
Well, here's the thing, right? The first 5 episodes of Doctor Who get leaked on the internet the same day as tickets for the worldwide tour go on sale. That strikes me as weird.
Now,
I'm
just wondering if Rock stole them for you and gave them to you in return for room and board.
No, I suspect it very easily could be because who's honestly to say that they're just shit they made up and put on the internet. You know, that would be the best thing ever if, you know, it was just like Stephen Moffat's just like, I'm going to write the worst Doctor Who script ever and leak it, you know? Oh, wait, he's already done that.
Ooh.
It was called Angels in Manhattan. No. But it'd be great if they – because they leaked, like, scripts for Top Gear, Call the Midwife, and Doctor Who, right? And it's the first 5 stories of the season. And you know, especially since they called on fans not to release it, that very easily could be a press stunt, you know, say, we can't judge, don't release these. It easily could be, but at the same time, it also could be the fact that somebody was just a dumbass. It's really hard to tell. I'd like to think it was just, you know, with all the secrecy they're doing and all the clandestine crap they're doing, it just seems like too much of a bonehead mistake to do for it to be like not on purpose.
Well, yeah, but you have the thing with the DVDs going out early, the Blu-rays going out early last year, so.
Yeah, after that. See, that's the thing is, after they did that, I don't think they would do this. But I don't know.
Did you guys hear the rumor that there's a fake Batman Superman script floating around?
Oh, yeah.
I found that kind of funny.
Yeah, nice try.
You know, and now the thing is, now that it's out there, everyone and their brothers can still be releasing their own fanfic and putting Doctor Who titles on it, you know? So.
Well, after learning that basically there are people just hovering around the filming of Walking Dead here, I said what they need to do is just have, because they're constantly taking pictures of stuff and trying to forecast what it means. Oh, what does this mean? This new shirt, what does it mean?
So they're not wearing shoes. What does it mean?
I think what you just need to have one of the main characters, like Daryl, like walk in plain view of the people taking pictures, wearing some sort of shirt that makes it look like he's taking like a shotgun blast to the gut. Just put it on. It's not for anything other than to fuck with people.
Walk through an open space. Is that just like the Norman Reedus' appearance in Hawaii Five-0, honey?
That was really funny. I bet he enjoyed the week of time in Hawaii he got for the 5
minutes sure
in that episode.
What was it? What did he do? Was he,
in the pilot. He gets killed like 5 minutes in.
I didn't even know.
He's playing James Marsters' brother, and they're like twin Irish arms dealers.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah, I
okay.
Left a great impression on me because
2010.
It left a great impression on me because I actually watched that episode and I can't even remember that he was in it.
He's the Norman one that Reedus. Gets shot in the convoy in the pre-credit sequence.
Okay, wait. Let me explain. I don't remember shit about that, Kim. The only thing I remember about the pilot is the nifty little get out of the way of cars colliding bit. That's
that
all.
That was
I remember.
Pretty cool. Yeah, that was a good scene.
So, anyway, so recommendations. Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Go, Duffley!
You know, we were gifted with, or at least I found thanks to the internet on Amazon.com, we were given the Avengers. They have re-released at least the complete Emma Peel mega set, which is incredible so that you can get your daily allowance of Diana Rigg kicking people in the face.
Hey!
Or Diana Rigg's stunt person kicking someone in the face. But you can still think about it that way. That's Diana Rigg kicking people in the face. So that's wonderful. And this thing is pretty cool because it is all of the Emma Peel episodes. So it's like two seasons of the show, and it's not ridiculously expensive like it used to be. So it's pretty good. It's the complete Emma Peel mega set, and it's damn it's damn good, and now it's cheap. So go grab that. And I also have Gran Turismo 6 for the PlayStation 3 because now that I am no longer driving the shitty Honda Fit, it's actually a fun game. And the other thing I was going to recommend is and I'm going to probably get some hate from some of the other music people on this show, but the Lana Del Rey record. It's called Ultraviolence. It's new and it's actually much, much better than the first record, which is really, really good. So I enjoyed that. So I'll recommend that as well.
Yeah, no, I thought her first album was okay. It just struck me as one of those albums that you go, hey, the remixes of this are going to be great.
Yeah, and then they released the remix record, and then you thought, no, they're not so good.
The Woodkid one was really good.
Yeah, the Woodkid one was really good. But Ultraviolence is actually really good because I guess she had a bunch of producers on the first record. She had a lot of them that I think maybe the song selection was a little all over the place. And I think on the second record, there's only one producer on it, and that sort of helps. It seems a bit more focused, so that's good. And yeah, the song selection is a lot better. At least there's at least a thorough line on what song, what subject matter she was actually dealing with, because the first album seemed to be a little all over the place. But yeah, it's a good improvement on the first record.
Cool. So is that your lot?
Yeah, all right, cool. It. That's my lot.
All right, who's next?
I'll go.
Go, Scott.
Hey, got a couple books here. One is The Age of Radiance, The Epic Rise and Dramatic Fall of the Atomic Era. And this covers like the beginnings of people formulating the atomic theory and all the various bizarre people that were involved with it. And how America, you know, basically became like a scientific second power to like rise in prominence because, you know, all the various, all the various Jewish scientists got the hell out of Germany and ended up here. And, you know, it really follows, you know, not just the science, but also sort of the moral implications of, you know, now that we have this bomb, what do we do with it? Now that we have this ability to create all this energy, what do we do with it? And how they struggled trying to figure out, you know, how one of the things they talk about in the book is how people couldn't quite grasp that with like conventional warfare, you know, the more forces you have and the more resources you have in the field, you usually win. But with an atomic bomb, that's no longer the case because you don't really need that many to blow up the world. But most military people just couldn't get past, well, we need bigger bombs because we have bigger bombs. That means we win war somehow. And it covers everything up to Chernobyl and Fukushima, and how people have had this very strange relationship to from using, you know, having radium used in cosmetics to people just freaking the fuck out about atomic energy from the China syndrome. So it's a very interesting book and a survey of, you know, cultural, scientific, and military implications of this thing that we've developed. Next is The Rhesus Chart. It is the latest Laundry Files novel from Charles Strauss. Essentially, it is the stories of a British organization that basically protects us because it seems that demonology is actually considered a branch of applied mathematics, which means anybody with a decent computer science degree, you know, makes the wrong calculation and could probably summon like a massive demon that could take out half a city. So they're like the agency that kind of makes sure that no one tries to blow anything up or summon something that'll eat everybody's soul and such like. And they're very, and what's happening in this one is it seems that they have found vampires, but practically everybody is convinced that vampires aren't real. So first they have to figure out where the vampires came from, and then they have to figure out, well, why do people think vampires aren't real? So it's very pop culture savvy. So, you know, you don't have people sort of like rediscovering like the wheel when it comes to, oh no, vampires. And it's very well written, very knowledgeable, especially if you have like some knowledge of computers and programming and stuff. So those are very entertaining. And I think that's it for now. And I'm done. Dong. Oh shit, Jay, he's in here. Shit.
Can you make a dong no dong noise?
I gave you a fake dong.
Hmm.
All right, who's next?
I'll go.
Go, Kim.
Yay!
Well, first off, I would like to recommend season one of the remake of Hawaii Five-0, because it's very fun. It is. I find it very entertaining and also pretty to watch, because Hawaii is pretty, and so is everybody who stars in that show. So, you know. And they run around and shoot things, and they swim in the ocean, and they solve crimes, and they make wisecracks. And it's just a fun, entertaining thing to watch while you're embroidering your Hawkeye sampler.
And don't forget all of the don't forget all of the many things that you can do with a Camaro.
Many, many things.
Is it a bitchin' Camaro?
It is a bitchin' Camaro, or at least that's what the corporate sponsor Chevrolet would like us to think.
Well, except if you have more than one key in the ignition.
Well, except if
now, how did you watch the first season of Hawaii Five-0?
On DVD.
Well,
which I purchased.
True, but also in case you're, it is also available on Amazon streaming.
Is it really? The last time I looked, it wasn't. They must have just put it up.
Well, I'm looking.
Season one, maybe.
No, I'm looking, and they have, I mean, it's not, like, free, you know, it's not on
the internet. Oh, well, yeah, you can buy it. It's not free on any of the streaming services, though. But I got it on sale for $15 at Best Buy last Friday, so if you look around, you can find it on sale. And I got well over $15 worth of enjoyment, so, you know, I consider that a worthy purchase.
Aww.
So, way to go, guys! And ladies of Hawaii Five-0. Anyway, so after you're done watching Hawaii Five-0, you should read some comics. Yay, comics!
Yay, comics!
So I'm going to say you should be reading all the ones that I have recommended to you in the past. But I'm going to get a little bit away from Marvel this week and recommend two non-Marvel comics that you should totally get. The first one is The Wicked and the Divine, which is by one of my favorite comic creative teams.
You just described me, Kim.
No, I really didn't. This is by Kyron Gillen and Jamie McKelvey, who also were responsible for the recent run of Young Avengers and Photogram, which I have been recommending at the Britpop panel at DragonCon every year that I've been on the Britpop panel at DragonCon. And Wicked and Divine is very, it's almost almost a thematic mirror of Phonogram in a lot of ways, whereas Phonogram is more about the consumers of art. Wicked and Divine is about the producers of art. And it's really, really good so far. The first issue, it's only, the first issue is out. The second one, I think, comes out this week, I believe. And
this week or next, yeah.
Yeah, this week or next. It comes out soon. So you have plenty of time to get it on the ground floor. It's really, really good. The art is good. The story is good. The concept is interesting. Grab this. It's awesome. You won't forget it. And the other one I wanted to recommend is a title that that's by Boom Comics called Lumberjanes. And it is a really fun kind of all-ages comic that is set in a girls' summer camp, but there's like a mysterious kind of supernatural something going on in the woods that this group of friends at camp has to sort of figure out what's going on and step in. And that one is very interesting, and it's a lot of fun. So two female ensemble titles from non-Big Two publishers that are very different from each other, but both really great, and you should read them both. Because I said so.
Wicked and Divine is not, by the way, an all-ages book.
No.
No, totally
not. Wicked and Divine is not an all-ages book at all. Lumberjanes, yes. Wicked and Divine, uh-uh.
No.
But they're both very good. And you should read them.
Okay.
Is that it? No, because you reminded me of something else I want to recommend, Kim.
Well, also, if you're not following Postmodern Jukebox or backing them on Patreon or whatever, you totally should, because they're great. I back them on Patreon, and so they go ahead and I can just download all their songs as they release them, and I love them all, and they're fantastic.
Did you listen to Sweet Child of Mine?
Yes, it's great.
Oh, my God.
All of them are so great. And I will say, you'll remember when Bioshock Infinite came out and I was raving about all the music from there. Scott Bradley from Postmodern Jukebox is the guy who did a lot of that music from Bioshock.
Oh, really? I didn't know he was involved.
He is the one who was responsible for many of the songs, especially my favorite, the ragtime version of Tainted Love. That was him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So if you played Bioshock Infinite and you thought the music was great, really, really, really check out Scott Bradley and Postmodern Jukebox, because they are very similar and also great.
Okay.
Is that it for you, Kim?
That can be it. I'll save the rest for later.
Okay.
No, the one thing I can't remember if I've recommended this before, but I think I will. Warren Ellis's run on Moon Knight has been fucking amazing and is way too short. Because I think his last issue with that is next month. But this issue, no supernatural shit, no superhero shit, is just Moon Knight going into a building and beating the shit out of people. It is essentially his version of the Raid, and it's beautiful and violent, and it's just amazing.
It's a shame if he's leaving it this soon, because I haven't even fully understood what the fuck he's doing with it yet.
You don't care. It's just amazing stuff.
It'll all be explained in the next series of Next Wave.
Oh, I wish. Oh, come on. Next Wave was fucking amazing. Widge?
Is that it?
Yeah, have you picked it up?
Oh.
I'm sorry, what?
No.
Oh, okay. I heard so I couldn't hear you.
That's okay. It's that iron lung again. All right. Who's next?
I don't have much. I'll go quick.
Oh, JJ.
Well, I last week went and finally got to see The Wind Rises. So I've been on a big Miyazaki kick. So I recommend anything Miyazaki. Princess Mononoke, of course, you can never go wrong with. I also, because Kim was talking about comics, a friend of mine recently turned me on to the not the current run, but the run that was right before it, of Wolverine and the X-Men, which is a very playful X-Men book where Wolverine reopens the Xavier School, and it's fun. They've got a there's a brood who's a student, and they've got a I never have known how to call it, like a Kuroka. They've got one on the team, and it's just so it's if you've read a lot of X-Men stuff, there's enough history there that it's kind of fun, and it's a fairly playful series. And also, as a possibility to expose my more poppy music tastes sometimes, my job recently has meant that I listen to a lot more radio because I'm in a car more often. And as you might guess, the radio in Portland is very 90s based. And so anything that comes on the radio that does not sound like the 90s jumps out at me immediately. So when they started playing Big Data's Dangerous, and it's a really bass heavy song, I've grown to really become fond of it. They only have like four songs out. They're techno-y and kind of poppy, but they're mildly sinister. It's grown on me. I still like the song Dangerous the best. The rest don't really feel like singles, but it's growing on me slowly. I'm done.
Cool. Thanks, JJ. All right, who's next? I think there's just Rob left. What you got, Rob?
I'm going to start off very simply with two simple words that everyone should know, and that is Bobby Womack, who died a couple weeks ago. If you have never heard the voice of Bobby Womack, then you are greatly missing out. But I do want to recommend his last full-length album, The Bravest Man in the Universe, a collaboration between him and Damon Albarn of Blur. And that's kind of a good starting point if you haven't heard any Bobby Womack. You probably have heard Bobby Womack but didn't realize it. So if you've heard like Across 110th Street, or if you've seen Jackie Brown, then you've heard Bobby Womack.
He was also all over the Last Gorillaz record too. Last couple of Gorillaz records.
Last two Gorillaz, yeah. But again, Bobby Womack, one of the last great American soul voices gone. So make it a point, kids. If you have not heard Bobby Womack, please do so. His voice is amazing. I mean, one of the great things about Bobby Womack is that when he sang, and it was a song with pain in it, you could actually hear the pain on the record. Very few people do that well anymore, and he is just amazing. So I want to recommend that as a starter. Then another interesting band called Mode Moderne. The album's called Occult Delight, sort of a cross between Gang of Four and Joy Division and Interpol with a little jangle in it. And it's a really nice sort of dark pop shoegazery record. So I want to recommend that because it's nice. And that'll tie you over till the new Interpol comes out in a couple weeks. And then something that fell across my desk, which is kind of interesting, is a book called Yeah, 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 The Story of Pop Music from Bill Haley to Beyonce. And it's written by Bob Stanley, who is a DJ, record label owner, and a member of the band Saint Etienne. And it's actually really good and really thorough. It was originally released in England, but now it's out over here. And he does a whole thing on like American rock, the importance of like, you know, prog rock and why people like prog rock. There's a whole thing on there sort of about the origins of rock and roll. It boils it down to a really succinct level. His chapters on the Beatles are great, so I highly recommend that as well. And also, finally, I want to recommend the movie Being Begin Again, which is the Mark Ruffalo, Keira Knightley movie.
I love Mark Ruffalo.
What now?
I love Mark Ruffalo. He's so great.
Yeah, and he's really great in this. He sort of walks around like he does his best Paul Westerberg kind of walking around. He basically is a down and out radio promotion guy who hears Keira Knightley singing in a bar and decides he's going to make a record with her. And they make a record in different spots all over New York on the streets. They don't have to pay for a studio. And it was done by the team that brought Once out a couple of years ago, but it's really, really well done and it's really fun. And it's just one of those musical movies that doesn't overwhelm you with being annoying, and it's not as pretentious as some of the others. So I do recommend that as well. And, you know, it's interesting because Mark Ruffalo is very understated in it, which is a nice sort of difference from some of the roles he's been doing later. And Mos Def is in it. And I don't know about you guys, but when Mos Def does a movie, he's actually like one of the things that steals the movies he's in, and he's great in it. So
It's pretty great. If you're a fan of music too, you'll laugh at all the jokes. So I recommend that as well. And I'm done.
All right. Well, thanks, Rob. Thanks, everybody. Did John come back? We have no John. All right. So I will. My recommendation is that last month, the what is that? Someone's banging on the lid of the coffin. Let them out. True Detective came out on Blu-ray and DVD, which if you have not seen, you should see because it's quite good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And the only thing that sort of pissed me off was that I've not gone through the whole set yet, but it does not appear that we have a commentary from the two leads on anything. And I'm like, guys, you're producers on this. Come on. So the opening episode, the closing episode, any of it.
I'm probably waiting for the Criterion.
Criterion doesn't really do television, do they?
They may change their minds with some of the stuff coming out.
Yeah, I doubt it. But yeah, that is my recommendation. If you've not seen it, it's similar to Broadchurch in that the actual revelation of the mystery is not as important as the characters investigating the mystery or around the mystery and the story itself. The journey to the end is much more impressive than the end. So it reminds me of Broadchurch a lot like that. It's kind of like Broadchurch, but set in Louisiana and slightly more Lovecraftian.
And that one shot that they've got, I forget which episode it is, but that one long shot is just great.
But which long shot?
The raid scene, the thing that's all one shot.
Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is shot really, really well. I mean, it's just really good. I mean, it's Rox's whole thing about why, you know, she can't stand certain shows because they don't look like they've hired a cinematographer at all. But yeah, I mean, it's HBO, so yeah, they've hired a cinematographer. Hell yes. So hey, that'll now that Game of Thrones is over and Walking Dead is over and Penny Dreadful is over, now it's time watch True Detectives.
Fargo looks nice too so far.
Well, Rox was recommending that, and I haven't had a chance to crack that open. I think we're gonna figure that out after we finish Game of Thrones. We still got to catch up on Ripper Street, which we were enjoying. And
good. You like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I like the cast. I like, of course, I'm horrible with names.
Is that McFadden?
Yeah. McFadden and the guy from basically Braun from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because it takes a minute to get going, but when it hits the ground, man, it's great.
Yeah, and I believe Tuffley, isn't that getting picked up by Amazon?
No, is it getting picked up by Amazon? I know BBC America picked it up for another year, didn't they?
Really?
I think BBC America picked it up for another year. Now our streaming service picked it up. Is co-producing, I think, with BBC America. And I think the streaming service is getting it in England.
Well, let's see. Back in February, it was confirmed that Amazon Prime Instant Video will revive the show.
Oh, okay.
And it started production in May.
Okay.
So that's where your third season comes in.
Okay. I thought – it was weird. I thought there was something that the BBC wasn't producing it, but BBC America was co-producing it, and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It may have been a co-production, and the whole BBC thing just decided they didn't want to do it anymore. But, no, I enjoyed that. And the other one that I need to go back to is Low Winter Sun, the U.S. version of that. With Mark Strong and oh God, why am I blanking on names? The excellent actor from Walking Dead who
Lenny, oh shoot, is it Lenny something?
Yeah, Lenny James.
Yes, Lenny James.
Yes, who was in season one and then came back and rocked ass with the best thing in season three. I believe that was season three, the Clear episode. Which was just bloody brilliant, and actually had an amazing
an amazing way of zombie deterrence that I had not actually seen before. So
and something I was going to throw out there with you know, Ripper Street getting picked up by a streaming service, Community got picked up by a streaming service. It's all going streaming.
Well, except for some things like that went streaming but didn't get picked up, like Onion News Empire, which was hilarious, but Amazon decided not to let it go to series, which I was like, oh Jesus, way to act like an actual network. That was the best thing out of their first run, and they didn't even let it go to series.
Well, what is that? The third time Onion's been canceled by somebody? Because Comedy Central had an Onion series, which is great, and they killed it.
Now,
and then it resurfaced.
Wasn't it before like a news parody show?
Yeah, because that was the version that Comedy Central had, and then that got killed. And then Spike had it for a little bit, had another Onion series that was also really good and got killed.
Well, I think the difference with this one was that it was the fake news was in the background.
Yeah.
And there was an actual story going on in the foreground, which was actually really funny. And the fake news stuff in the background was great because that sort of came in and just was like a little bit of extra spice on top of the other insanity that was happening.
Yeah. By the way, while I'm at it, because I mentioned Spike, boo Spike for dumping game trailers. That was a horrible, horrible thing you did.
What was game trailers? What?
GameTrailers.com, Viacom basically dumped the company after nobody wanted to watch the television show on Spike. So, boo Viacom.
Oh, well.
But The Sims 4 is coming out this fall, so there's some good news.
Yes, and Civilization's also coming out.
And the Civilization that's in space. And the new Dragon Age, which I'm cautiously accepting. Yeah,
Civilization.
I know. I'm already
space witch.
I'm already
space.
I know. I'm already preparing for that week. Just go off the grid.
Just well, you, that and make sure your computer's running.
What?
Make sure your computer's. Well,
technically, nowadays you can't go off the grid. You have to connect to the internet to play games now. So.
Well, that's okay. I will be able to deal with it. But yeah, I'm gonna spend about a week and then put it away.
Sure.
No, Witch, you don't go off the grid. The grid goes off you.
So, Kim, when Sims 4 comes out, are you gonna do a updated version of the Neat Coffee House?
I don't know, because the last time I checked in on the Neat Coffee House, things were kind of grim.
No shit.
Yeah, so I was talking to Tuffley before you arrived. What, where was I in all this? You didn't mention me.
No, you were there.
I don't remember what I was doing.
You and your wife were still together and were just, you know. Oh, I think your wife was on the city council. Because one of my other Sims had to try to make friends with her and convince her to vote for something they wanted. I'm not sure what you do. Oh, no, I do know what you do. You sell concessions in the park during festival time.
I don't even have a proper food truck. Fuck it.
You're at, like, the apple cider and hot dog stand.
I always love the Sim updates. They've always made me happy.
Oh, you haven't. Did I tell the recent Sim update? Was that on the podcast that I did that? Or did I just email you?
You didn't share that with everyone.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I hadn't played The Sims in a while, but I got a new computer, so I figured it would run better, and it does. It runs so much better on my new computer, because my old computer was really struggling to run. Once I got like 3 expansion packs, it really started struggling to try to run The Sims. So I was like, okay, well, I will go and check on the Weekend Justice House. But we had all gotten old. Like, yeah. We were all elder Sims and had little canes.
Nice.
And so Cosette was on the city council, and Widge was a concession stand keeper. And Tuffley had retired from the military.
Okay.
Rox had a town reputation as naughty because she had 2 boyfriends at once. And Ken and Rob were long-term committed boyfriends.
Excellent.
I just knew it. They did that themselves while I was...
Okay. Rob, you're in trouble.
If you start the letter writing campaign to EA now, I think they can include...
I swear, I had nothing to do with any of that.
Am I still
I just opened up the house, and... Oh, yeah, and everybody else had just kind of vanished. I don't know if they died or moved away or what.
Scott, I still think you're at the pool crying.
Everybody who was in the...
I've been disappeared.
Because I couldn't fit everybody in the first house. Everybody who was in the second house had vanished. I think they moved away.
No, the second house is like Babylon.
Physically hurt.
I'm really sorry, Rob.
Et tu, Brute? All right, I see how it is.
I didn't do it. That's just what happened. I didn't make Wedge get a job at the concession stand. I didn't make Tuffley go into the military and then retire from the military. I didn't have a job. My sim was unemployed and old.
Now, see, if she were Peter Molyneux, then you could probably lay a case of,
yes,
oh, yeah, you manipulated
blame Peter
that.
Molyneux. But... Wait, no, it's Sid Meier.
Sid Meier, yeah.
I mean, we can blame Peter Molyneux anyway.
Oh, that's what it was.
You can always blame Peter Molyneux.
I can always blame Peter Molyneux.
Yeah, Kim, you in the email, you mentioned Sim Cosette, but not me. So I didn't know I was in the park.
Yeah, well, I don't think I had seen you yet, because... When I went with my other Sims to the festival, I went to the concession stand, and there you were in a jaunty little top hat and a short vest selling concessions.
Oh, God.
And it's a seasonally themed jaunty top hat. It's a different color in every season because I have the season's expansion.
See, which I would actually talk to Kim now, except she's dead to me.
Sorry, Rob. I didn't do it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I can seriously imagine Rob's letter to EA now.
I just picture right now Ken's like, I feel a strange disturbance in the force.
You know what that was, Widge?
What was that?
That was the emotional experience of listening to a Keen record amplified.
Wow.
By 1,000.
Damn.
Wow.
I wasn't going to tell you.
That's hardcore.
So I think...
closed out of the weekend justice house and went and played a different game.
You know what I'm going to do when we do the Brick Pop panel this year?
Uh-oh.
What?
I'm going to go to one of the hotels, and I'm going to find whichever the first, like, room-cleaning, housekeeping person I find, and I'm putting her on your spot in the panel.
I accept that, Rob.
Oh, God.
I should have checked on them sooner.
That's okay. I'm sending your dossier to the one person that will make this right.
What? Oh, God.
Oh?
Danger Woman.
Oh,
now,
God.
That's just wrong. No. That is just too far.
It speaks well of your sim. You have a happy little faithful moodlet.
I have a happy faithful person now.
Well, but she wasn't in the Week in Justice house.
Yeah, it's like I traded her in for a troll, thanks.
No. If she had been, you totally would still be together. I just didn't put her in because she's not on the podcast. So
see, there's an obvious programming. There's an obvious programming error here because, first of all, I'm not famous.
Oh.
So,
oh.
The second thing that's wrong with this is that I'm not famous.
I can go back and check and see if you have any celebrity stars.
No, because of my luck, I'd get Joey fucking Lawrence. So,
wow.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna kiss my wife. I'm gonna go sit in the living room. I'm gonna watch Blossom till my fucking head explodes.
I like my reality.
Yeah. Thanks.
For a second there, it was turning into one of the endings of Clue.
It's not real.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
No, that was the collective soul of Sim computer games. That's what that was.
Yeah, and speaking of which, why does Collective Soul have more of a navy than we do? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Collective Soul has a navy.
I could talk about Ridge's concession stand top hat some more.
No, hold on. Now, Bob.
Just because you saw, hold on. Just because she saw Vicious doesn't mean she has to act it out in her sim.
Huh. I swear I didn't act it out.
Yeah, all right.
It had just happened when I went back into the save game. Like that time that Scott disappeared and then wet himself and got stuck in the pool.
Thanks. Great.
That wasn't a comparison. That was just, you know.
Look at it as a programming glitch.
Kim, I quote the great prophet Bruce Springsteen, there'll be a reckoning. Wow.
If it involves Chris Martin, please don't.
No, I wouldn't do that to you, Tuffley.
Okay.
You will not be collateral damage.
I could make him go swimming and take the pool water out if it would make you be my friend again, Rob.
Yeah, it's too late.
No. I think she can correct all of this when she goes into Sims 4 and restarts the Weekend Justice House.
You still want me to restart the Weekend Justice House?
Yeah, this will be the Weekend Justice New 52 House.
Yeah, can you arrange it where, like...
Listen to JJ. People seem to like it.
Can you arrange it where, like, you leave me for John Barrowman or something, at least plausible?
Sure. I'll make something happen.
We can do it like Big Brother, and every week the internet votes someone out of the house.
Yeah. Jesus.
That's not right.
Kim, that ain't right, man. That's, you know.
It's like an ant farm in hell.
That's like going to see, you know, Judge Joe Franklin and have him just look at you and go, damn.
Oh, he does that up here anyway.
Or like, what's his face from The Wire? Shit.
Wow.
All right, on that bombshell, I think...
I'd rather watch the Transformers movie, thanks.
Wow. All right, and on that bombshell... We should stumble towards concluding this episode of Weekend Justice before any more trauma occurs.
Good night, everyone not named Kim.
Oh, God.
God damn. Let it go.
So as we try to recover from the revelations that have just occurred, I think it's time to enter a period of healing and contemplate what we've done. And look at each other, and like we do every week, we should say boomerang.
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 Kim
is not my least favorite.
Because
Nazi made of bees. Best roller derby girl ever.
I'll make it up to you, Rob, I swear. Even though it was totally not my fault.
Kim, can we take off and sim nuke the sim site from sim orbit?
No,
because that's the only way to be sim sure.
It's fine. She didn't mean to. It's okay. I'll forgive her for now.
Thank you, Rob.
Just, you know, sleep with one eye open.
She has become death, destroyer of worlds.
Yes.
Well, she already
exactly.
Well, she already played Fables 1 through 3. Of course she is.
Well, she's doing better than Once Upon a Time then.
Well, there you go.
Damn you, Molyneux!
That's the way to end every podcast.
I agree. All right. I think we're done.
Yeah.
Good.
Overdone.
Good night.
Good night. Bill
Clinton commercial or cartoon, for the love of God, my anus is bleeding. Yeah, that's it.
What?
Nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very confusing.
However, Bleeding Anus, that's totally my Captain Sneal cover band.
That's a horrible kind of muskrat love.
Your Weekend Justice, number 219, Don't Put Metal in the Science Oven, was a production of NeedCoffee.com. The show is engineered and produced by John Boutel. The league roster for this podcast was, in order of how many times they've experimented with handcuff arrows, John Boutel, Scott C., Tuffley, Kim, J.J. Hawkins, Aaron Fever, Serve, Lee, and Rob Levy. This episode was directed by Alan Smithy from a script by Din Drain and Doc Ezra, with additional material by Gary Webb and Carmine Polito. All weird distortion was caused by the personality of me, Widget Walls. Special thanks to everyone who sponsors the site and makes shows like this possible. If you've already set up your easy reoccurring micropayment at needcoffee.com/support, then only you are awesome enough to keep Lee awake. If you haven't given, it's never too late. Go to needcoffee.com/support and throw some coins in the virtual tin. Thanks in advance for doing that. It really helps us out. And now, here's Dakota.
Right now, for the listeners, Scott has his penis out.
That strikes me as weird.